This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Heavy Metal, and I'm not yelling.
And I'm Natty Studios, and I'll be yelling later.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta, bitches. We're a ferret short at the moment. Not sure why. I brought him with me on my excursion over the fucking long weekend, and I lost him. It's probably all my fault. Like, I mean, I can't be expected to keep track of a small animal while going through the bullshit that I went through for 4 or 5 days.
Now, was the shock collar on the ferret, or were you wearing that? Because I saw a tweet wearing a shock collar, and...
You didn't see the video yet, Maddie?
No, there's a...
For the love of God!
There's a video.
Yeah, I posted the video
on
YouTube.
Oh, my God.
I thought I sent you the link. I will have to put that link.
Get that in the show notes right now. We will put that in MetaDeprive unless it's banned and we're not allowed. But
It's not any more banned than, like, a random fucking Jackass movie. So.
It'll be banned in a few countries, but hopefully not in America.
Yeah, good.
All I know is a huge shout-out to whoever was the first person to post the – video of the naked midget stripper jumping.
I think that was Trevor the Homeless.
Was it? I don't know. It might have been. I can't put it on him, but in all honesty,
before we get too far into this shit, that fucking right. Crazy ass fucking French Canadian voice you heard in the background.
Oh yes, I totally.
Yeah, you guys aren't fucking introducing me.
We're just all whatever, you know. We'll get to you later. So we got us a fucking Frankie on the cast tonight.
Say hello, Frankie.
Hello.
I'm sorry, Frankie.
I am calling you guys from Canada.
Oh, are you? The truth is Frankie's just like he's a good friend of the cast, so it's just like, hey, what's up? Why introduce him? He's like part of the show. It's all
good. He's here. No, I'm actually stoked we got Frankie on because I finally decided to ask him like the day before the cast instead of like a half an hour before the cast if he wanted to come on. Every time I swear I must have asked Frankie to come on like 3 or 4 times now since the last time he was on. And every time I do, it's like, hey, Frankie, we're casting in like 20 minutes. You got anything to do? And then I hear from him the next day. So,
and he's alive.
And then
both times I was actually playing Magic.
Well, that's always a plus. At least fucking you were doing something instead of, you know, just sitting around talking about Magic like you were out actually playing.
Oh, look, Ferret has decided to join the show. You must have found him.
We're actually starting the cast already?
Oh, we're already like 10 minutes in.
Oh, well, see, this is what happens when Heavy actually gets there on time, and then I'm the one who has to go to the bathroom and work and shit.
Oh, I love it.
I'm sorry, yeah, like Ferret. Welcome to the show. It's all good, Ferret. It's all good. You're here now. That's what matters. We got Frankie on. Apparently we're about to either, we have a choice, this is like a choose your own adventure book cast version. We can go deep into GP Toronto knowledge, or we can go deep into crazy Kevy stories. I'm not sure. I should let the guest decide, maybe.
Turn the page at the sound.
Like, I think, like, if we don't do GP Toronto, then all we'll do is... Because, like, Kevy has his own agenda. Like, no matter what you say we're going to do, we're going to get into crazy adventures.
Yeah, so if you guys start talking about GP Toronto, you might make it halfway through before I start talking about whatever the fuck I want to.
All right. Well, then I'll start with the quick recap. So we did the GP Toronto thing. It was pretty insane.
Of course, there I was.
Yeah, that was it. No, No, the truth is, everyone knows. I mean, it's 1,600 people. It's pretty damn big. No one likes that venue, and I'm not going to shit on it any more than everyone already has on Twitter. But it was run all right. Things got off a little late, but it was pretty cool. I was there mainly to gunsling for charity with Rye ABC and Kelly from Harry T. There had, you know, him, those two guys just worked together to set up this incredible thing. And huge shout out off the top of the show to Kelly and to all the people that just, I mean, I was blown away, Kevy. You wouldn't believe this. Like every 10 minutes, you know, Kelly or someone is coming by with a box of like rare boosters. And they're like, here, just give this away. And we're like, what? And they're like, oh, here's some Modern Masters packs. Just gunsling with these. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, it was insane. LSV dropped by, gave us some signed foil tokens.
Every time Maddie wins, he just pockets a fucking Modern Masters pack. He's just talking like, yeah, that's how that works, right?
No. It was funny because Rye had built me my standard white devotion deck and a black devotion deck for Modern, and I had my sealed packs that I had built a deck, and it was pretty shitty. But I started playing, and people just wanted to play like weird formats. Like, hey, let's play one-on-one Commander. And I'm like, what? I hate Commander. I don't want to play it. I don't even have a Commander deck. So to the rescue, Jason Alt and Cripple Command Ryan from Brainstorm Brewery were like, well, we're bored. And we're like, I'm like, great. Well, guess what? You're now part of the fucking charity gunsling. So we pulled another table over. We got them going. And at one point, we had me playing Standard and Limited. And then we are, whatever, sealed. And then we had Jason Alt playing Commander, Ryan playing Commander, Durf playing Legacy.
That's awesome, dude.
And we just like, we're like, it's $10. What do you want to play? You know, donate to charity. And we had this huge raffle. Ryan ended up, I think the tally was $1,400. So that's pretty fucking bonkers.
Oh, that's awesome.
One day. Yeah. And we got, it was absurd. Like, I don't know, honestly, I think people just forgot at how much value, like, we had Helen gave us a Commander Arsenal box. And, and Kelly dropped off two Commander decks with True Name Nemesis in it, the blue one. Mm-hmm. And we're like, wow, this is going to be a great raffle prize. Like, first, second, third prize. And then we, by the end of the evening, we had so many other prizes. We gave out prizes to eighth place. Like just
cool.
Yeah, there's like people just like, here's a stack of cards, I don't want them. And we're like, oh my God, this is like $150 worth of cards. And we're like raffling them off. And it was bonkers. Like, it was so much fun. We got art from the artist, the guy that did the Black Lotus for the new cube and the swords. I can't remember his name.
Oh, cool. Chris Ron.
Chris Ron, yep. And he did some beautiful sign things. Oh, and negative shout out to Jeremy fucking Schofield, who I met. He scumbagged me large. The first thing he did. So we had these. It was we're
oh
doing.
Boy.
Yeah, he's a fucker, man. Because we were bidding on the art pieces. That's what we're doing, like, you know, you highest bidder it goes to. So I'm battling this one guy for this, you know, Black Lotus signed art, and I really want it. So it's like, you know, it quickly gets up to like $30 or $40, and I'm like, okay, that's it, man. Because you can buy them for 30 if I wait in line at the artist booth. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty much as far as I'm going to go. And Schofield comes by, and he's like, $41. And I'm like, you scumbag piece of shit. He's like, that's right.
And he's earning his nickname. I love it.
Yeah, but in all honesty, he is an awesome, awesome fucking guy. Got to meet Kyle. Oh, man, like, everybody was so badass. I got to hang out with Scotty, and holy shit, does he look fucking good. He's going to crush this weight loss challenge like nobody. Oh, dude. I would do him. There was a couple times I was like, all right, we could go behind.
Well, I mean, you know, let's be honest. I'd have banged Scotty like before, but now I'm excited about it.
but my number one guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Last time you would have been thinking of Matt while you were
doing
it. Now you're going to be thinking of him, right?
See? And this is why we get this motherfucker on the show.
No, the funny thing is everybody was fucking awesome. They're all amazing people. I'm probably forgetting like 1,000 of them. But my favorite guest was Scotty's little girl, Lily. She is just adorable shit, eh? She comes up to me and she's like, let's open packs, you know, like. I'm like, sure, let's open packs. And she's like, well, you know, flipping them around, and I'm making her laugh. And I probably shouldn't have showed her this. I'm like, hey, do you want me to chuck this card? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I like whip it across the room and she's like, she just starts cracking up laughing. She's like, you know, oh, how'd you do that? She starts flicking cards too off the table. So sorry, Scotty, if she starts flipping your cards, it was probably all my fault, but.
Yeah, you're going to get hate mail from Scotty. He's like, dude. It was funny with the commons and basic lands. Now this shit's getting expensive.
Yeah, my foil pump.
Yeah, Lily's flicking all my high-end foil cards all over the room.
Yeah, that kid's awesome. But in all, like, I got a, you know, last prop, but huge shout-out to Ron, our Rye ABC. Like, what he did was pretty fucking bonkers, amazing. And in all honesty, like, Kelly is... I know I've, like, many times I keep saying it, but I think that guy is one of the best judges and tournament organizers I've ever seen. I've never seen anyone so passionate. Like, man, it was unbelievable, man. Cool. Really, really cool shit. And Schofield is fucking hilarious as hell in real life, so.
And a scumbag.
He was funny because he scumbagged me and then he made me laugh. So I'm like, I don't know. You're sneaky. You're sneaky like that.
Oh, yeah. he had to set the bar low so that he could make you laugh and then make you think he was cool.
Yeah. Oh, and then to shout out Proxy Guy. So I had taken the limited edition tokens that we got. I took my set because I'm like, you know what? For charity, I'm gonna give these away. So I had them on the side. And I gave them out to specific people that I thought deserved them, that, you know, kind of knew the show. And, you know, this was kind of like their first GP. And I was like, all right, heavy meta tokens. So I was signing them. Awesome. I gave those away. And I'm like, you do know there's like maybe five of these in the whole world? Like, these are so limited. Not even funny.
And like, you got to realize that, like, there might as well be like four of them because, like, I'm going to hold on to mine for dear life because anything with a picture of me on it, I don't want to give away.
it was totally good times. The funniest thing was one of the fans, he'd come up to me and he's like, hey, man, can I get a picture with you? And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's get a picture, right? So he takes a picture with me, and another guy interrupts and he's like, hey, can I get a picture next? And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, another person wanting a picture with me? Like, this is crazy. And the guy's like, no, I don't want a picture with you. I want a picture with Josh Etter Layton. Now, the guy looked exactly like Josh Etter Layton. So as quick as a whip, I just roll with it. I'm like, hey, Josh, thank you so much for taking my picture with me. And tell LSV all, you know, I'll get back to him. And the guy's getting ready to take a picture with the fan. And the fan is like just agape. His mouth is open. He's like, oh, I can't believe he just is like this guy out Josh Etter Layton. Oh, so I was like Jones, and I'm like, yeah, sign an autograph, man. It's awesome, dude.
That's fucking great. Yeah. Oh, man.
I missed I could only be there for Saturday, so I only saw Frankie at the end there. I don't know what the hell he was doing all day. He never came to say hi, and then at like 10 o'clock at night, he's like, hey, what's up, Matt?
He's probably playing Magic, like.
Yeah, well, that tournament ended at midnight, man, on day one.
Yeah, it was badly.
And the thing is, like, you guys were set up in the back. I didn't even know there was something going on there.
Maddie's like, always in the back, Frankie.
Anyway.
Hey, man, I thought the food was back there. I thought people would walk to the food, but I guess.
Well, when I saw you, I stopped, man. That's what I did.
That's true.
Hell yeah.
I must admit, I took my sweet time.
He knew you were there the whole time, but he's just like, I'm gonna avoid going to say hi to Matt.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was crushing this fucking tournament. I ended up making.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I ended up 10-5 after the whole thing.
Okay. Oh, not bad.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad at all.
What did you draft, dude?
I lost. Like, I kind of lost two games. Kind of early, and then I had to win the last three to make it to day two. So that was kind of like that was tight, you know.
Oh yeah, and you got to come back. Like, you had to blow through, and like every single one of those fucking rounds, you're fucked if you lose. And to be able to come back from that, that's rad, man.
Yeah, and so
anything
and then
in particular with your deck, like, you know, anything fucking stand out?
Well, I had pretty good rares in my colors. I was playing red green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Red green stompies.
I was playing red green. I had the monstrous rare guy that has protection from enchantments and trample. Like that guy's pretty good. I had the double Voyaging Satyr, which is pretty good.
Amazing card.
I had like a couple other like monsters.
Did you pull any Nessian Asps?
Yeah, I had like an Asp and a Giant, I think.
The Thundershock Giant?
Yeah, and I had the I had the Xenagos as well as a rare. Oh, okay.
Really? Oh, right. See, you know what's funny? I pulled a Xenagos in my six packs, but I had no green. So I was like this. And someone told me, like, yeah, I think it was Jason Alt that said, don't play it. So I built a black-red deck, but I think I maybe should have splashed for it because it seems so powerful.
Like, I played with it, like, the whole day. And, like the thing is, like, it wasn't good in every matchup. You know, if they have flyers and they can kill it in one hit, like, just getting a goat is kind of average, right?
Right.
Really?
So you have to play it, like, a little bit more carefully in those situations. But then,
see,
like,
I'm one of those that I try to force. I'm still such a bad Magic player, especially when it comes to sealed and draft. Like, when I open good cards, I will force the shit out of it. And then I will play it, whether I need to play it into that board state or not. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I got it in my hand. I got the mana. So, yeah.
And, like, I think, like, the best deck I could have built was, like, red-green splashing for blue as well. Like, but that was, like, a little greedier.
Okay.
So, like, sometimes I sided into that, you know, if I saw the guy had, like, crazy bombs, and then I needed, like, to have the bounce to stay in the game, you know?
The right, Voyage's right. End.
Yeah, those type of spells, you know? And, yeah. So there was, like, a crazy game, you know, that went, like, super long. I had 10 tokens that I made with Xenagos into play.
Jesus.
And then the guy slams, like, that indestructible 10-10 Colossus.
Oh,
monster.
I hate that damn thing. Yeah, but you could have, like, swarmed him, right?
Well, it was, like, it was, like, he had an insane board himself.
Oh, okay.
You know? So, I could have swarmed him, but then, like, I was, like, in...
You're dead. Crackback.
Like, I would have lost all my guy. So when he played his guy, like, I took one hit. I took 18 damage from the guy by sacking like one guy, you know, and taking the 18 trample damage. And then the turn after, I block with 10 tokens.
Holy
so
shit!
Block it one turn.
Did you win or no?
I ended up losing that game. It was the first game I lost. And the guy, the guy even sighted in into the Colossus because he thought my deck couldn't handle it. You know?
Oh, it was funny because when I was gunslinging, I played a guy with the Colossus too, and I thought I had the game, and then just Colossus comes down, and I'm like, well. Every attack I have now is just going to, like, I can't attack into that.
Yes.
And then I know he's going to monstrous it, and I'm dead. Like, and there was nothing I could do. I was hoping for my one hero's downfall. And I was just digging through the deck, hoping to get it. But
guy's indestructible, man. You were digging to...
Oh, money. That's right. I guess I was fucked anyways. There you go.
Yeah, man. That's the worst part about it.
I guess I was playing red-black, so I really had no answers to that. I don't even think I had a sack effect, so yeah, I was fucked.
Like the only thing really that kills it is fade into
antiquity. Yeah, antiquity. Yeah. So what do you think about
maybe chained to the rocks as well?
So what do you think about Frankie? What do you think about this GP location and what everyone is talking about? Like maybe trying to move it back to the other location, or you know, at a more expensive venue in Toronto. Or are you on the line like, well, I'm not going to pay more to play, so fuck it. Just take it to Niagara Falls or something.
Well, that place, you know, like, is, I don't know, like, it's not, to me, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but there's nothing to do. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's like, Kev, imagine this. Here's a building, and you look outside.
GP Ridgecrest.
Yeah. It literally, okay, if GP Ridgecrest has a giant airfield, then yes, it's literally a building with an airfield that you look into. And planes are
too. We actually do. We have a Navy base right next to our fucking town.
Well, the thing is, like, the other location is just much better because, like, there's, like, a bunch of restaurants and,
yeah.
like, two, three hotels that are just right next to it, you know?
Right.
So, like, if that's available, like, I'd snap take that. But, you know, if it's not, then I guess the other place works. But, like...
It's not
as good, you know, but I mean, like, for us, like, we're just driving like infinite hours and like,
yeah, well, that seems to be the thing. Like, if you're going to spend that much time driving to a fucking GP, like, I don't have a lot of experience with it. I've been to two and I didn't play either of them. But they, like, you know, if you're going to spend that amount of time to drive or even, you know, that kind of money to fucking fly in to a place like that, it's a, you know, knowing that, like, what these things entail, you know, you're going to be playing Magic all day, and the majority of the people aren't going to be playing Magic all day because they're fucking in the tournament still. They're going to, you know, they're going to drop or they're going to, you know, get knocked out and just kind of, you know, maybe they want to go play side events and shit like that too, but to only have the venue there and have, like, nothing else available around it kind of sucks because, you know, if you're there for the fucking weekend and you're going to spend the time and money and effort to get to somewhere to go play in the fucking GP and you can't really do anything, you know, like I heard people talking, you know, like they were talking on the SVU cast. It's like you've got that many people and you've got like a food court and a Tim Hortons and that's it. Like, you know, that's anywhere near the place. And so, like, you know, people trying to go to fucking eat, well, people trying to go and just get out for a little bit and take a little bit of break from Magic after they drop before they go back and enter a side event or something like that. It'd be nice to have something there to be able
A car, there's a few options that aren't that far, basically. It's just like... If you want to leave, you need to take your car.
Here's the thing, Frankie, and maybe I'm in the minority, and we'll see. Kelly has been talking back and forth about an idea that I support 100%, which is a premiere event where, you know, you can go to the movies and see it, you know, in a shitty screen, or you can pay an extra money, see it in 3D in a big screen, and have a fucking drink while you're doing it, whatever. Like, this is what I'm looking for. I could care less about sitting at a table and grinding 12 hours. That's not really why I go to tournaments, and maybe I'm not the target audience, but I want to play, but then I want to party at night, I want to talk to people, I want to have, you know, a good place to walk around, see some shit, talk to people. It's the whole experience.
I could see that as, like, you know, you're talking like premier level event, which I could see it as, you know, whereas maybe you have like PTQ level events, like stuff like that in an area like what this GP was in. But if you're going to go as far as have a fucking, you know, a Grand Prix, like a Wizards Grand Prix, like that, yeah, it should be a little more fucking higher level.
Here's an idea. Here, let's play theoretical for a second, because this is something I'm fully in favor of, and I know certain people disagree with me, but fuck it. It's my show, and I'm going to voice my opinion right now. But,
No, man. You're not allowed.
Just to put a little perspective on this for everybody.
Yes.
These Grand Prix are actually larger than some conventions that go on. So...
Right, and
you know,
this,
it's definitely people are going there for the event, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, the game's there and possibility of winning money, but it's mainly the event.
Yeah, you're going for the whole experience and the whole
here's the thing. So, if it's possible, like, to start it on a small scale, what I would love to see is a 30, well, maybe not even 30. Let's say, I don't know, maybe 50 to 100 person event, just small, like, just to do as a test. And it's an exclusive thing. You get it at maybe you do it in a nice hotel, and you have,
you get
like
a beta key for it.
Yeah, who knows? But
let's hold up. Right?
Well, okay, maybe, but it doesn't matter. In all honesty, it's not even necessarily if it's sanctioned by Wizard. Imagine if you did this like day of Magic, and you get these like mini groups, mini pods. One's doing Chaos Draft. One's doing like Return to Ravnica and Old Ravnica, like Cube. I don't know, like really neat stuff. It's expensive. Maybe it's $100 to play, but then there's amazing prizes, incredible venue, good food, maybe even an alcohol liquor license. Like something like that would be insane. Because in all honesty, you end up
the entire Mana Deprived family would be there, and that's the only business they get.
I don't. You know what? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I look at it this way. I was watching people drop absurd money. That people are dropping crazy money on cards and stuff. It's an expensive hobby, But if I'm going to go to like one or two of these events a year, I really don't want to sit in a basement. I don't want to do a sweaty gymnasium bullshit. I don't know. Maybe I'm the elite and I'm too snobbish now. But I really don't. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, I want a nice event, meet people, hang out, do some really cool shit, get some really good prizes, and well, have like stories. Like,
no, even at that, which I absolutely agree 100%, but even at that, like, you know, even if they put a little bit more into, like, say, for instance, like this, you know, the problem that they obviously had to know that there was an issue with location.
No, they didn't. Reason, they're retarded. No, it's their last one. They did. Well, here's the truth.
No, they had to know that there was nothing near there. But like what I'm saying is, you know, maybe if you want, you know, if for whatever reason you're going to book it there, you know, open it up to like the GPs I've been to. It's like, you know, it's all magic stuff. It's all card shit and magic related stuff, like all the vendor booths. But open that shit up to, you know, local businesses, sandwich shops, fucking shit like that. Have them come out. Charge them to come out and set up a fucking booth so that you have like food. You have
entertainment. You can't because it's a union. This is the problem why all these halls fail. There's a union, and the union runs all the food distribution in there. And that's why the union has $1, you know, cardboard pizza and stale popcorn and the shittiest food, right? Because they're cheap as fuck, and they want to charge you $9 for something that should cost 3 cents. Yeah, they're greedy. And that's where I think maybe it's something as crazy as private events. And hey man, if any of the Joe Nidri or any of these guys, if you want to do a private event and we can set this up so it's a fucking good evening, I'm in, man.
Well, isn't that also kind of like I think I'm starting like seeing that emerge. I mean, like you've got like I mean basically that's what SCG does on a larger scale. You know, the fucking SCG opens, but then you got like, you know, the Mana Deprived Super Series and shit like that. You have fucking, you know, shops and fucking and sites and stuff like that that are doing exactly that, like their own circuits, kind of like what SCG's doing, but on a smaller level. And I think it just takes, you know, looking at the shit that people want when they get there and learning from shit like this, learning from everybody's bitches about this.
How about this?
We should call it the Mana Deprived Super Series.
Exactly.
Well, how about this? Like, what if we took the next pre-release, Born of the Gods, right? And Kelly Atrenta, he's like, okay, we're gonna run regular pre-release, but then we're gonna run an 18+, you know, an adult pre-re. It's double the entry fee, but it's double the prizes. You know, like something like that would be amazing.
Run your fucking pre-releases. And then fucking set that up, like do those pre-releases as a fucking satellite tournament for like an invitational pre-release.
Like, yeah, I think something cool. Like imagine this: you get like 50 people, they show up, you play the pre-re. The top 8 of the pre-re get to enter a special limited time. Like no, how about this? The top 8 isn't Born of the Gods. Fucking throw that in the garbage. The top 8 is then old Ravnica and new Ravnica, freaking 6-pack sealed.
Yeah, you know, and then on top of it, you get like fucking, you get beer served at your fucking, you're at this feature table, you get beer served, you got a fucking recliner, and you got a fluffer to come up and fucking for your business. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm always thinking about my dick when it comes to magic.
It's all good, but I think like something like that would just be, number one, it'd be fun as hell to watch. You know, it would be cool. I'm just getting, it's funny that the more and more I go out to events, the more and more I'm kind of disappointed in all honesty. Like, I guess my first giant event was Vegas, and maybe I'm judging everything.
You're probably pretty spoiled by that. But I mean, in fairness, there's no reason that Wizards couldn't take and have their GP schedule be like a series of different small conventions. And have it set in stone, like, which locations they're going to do at what times each year. That way it's no surprise. You know, year from year, which location and what time of year.
Yeah, but they want to mix it up, right? That's
what. Well, yeah, and I can see the plus side of that fair, and I can also see the downside to it. Because, you know, say
the major plus side is they actually get to save money, too, by doing this. Because then they can make, you know, exclusivity deals with the locations.
Right, which
and you can get better locations because of that.
That's always great, but then you're always going to have, like, you know, half the, like, just fucking throwing numbers out there, but like, okay, so half the people in that area are going to love it because it's in a good location, it's fucking, it's, you know, it's the same place every year and that's awesome, and then you're going to have this, the other half of people, or, you know, maybe the numbers are different percentage-wise, but that are upset about it because they live fucking, you know,
too far away.
Just too far enough away, but they're in a metropolitan area where
okay,
they
here's my counter argument.
Having one there too.
See, I live in Ohio. We have both Cincinnati and Columbus. Okay? Now, if I know that the the GP is going to be, let's say, in Cincinnati, since I live in Columbus, the right. same time every fucking year.
Yeah, you can.
It plan. Gives me an entire year to plan for that.
But they release, don't they release 6 months in advance now? So you kind of get an idea of what you want to do. I don't know.
But no, I get that. Like, you know, as far as like what city and stuff it's going to be in. But if they're bouncing around between venues and shit like that, that would be something that would be a plus if they got like something exclusive going with. Like, for instance, you know, you're not going to have to deal with the fucking like the venue that you guys were at for this last one. Like, if you know for a fact it's going to be at the good venue every year, one, that's going to draw more people out. Because they're going to be like, oh, sweet, it's at the venue that I know is going to be awesome. Not like, oh, shit, it's a die roll. Maybe I'm going to fuck it. It's going to be a fuck again. Maybe I'm going to be stuck in a shitty spot. So, I don't know. There's a lot of different things that could work and maybe wouldn't work.
Here's my take on the whole thing. I don't really care about the location. Like, pick a good one, and if you want to stay at it, stay at it. Don't. You can move it.
I don't really care about
no,
the location.
No.
As long as it's a good one.
No, but yeah, that's exactly my point. My point is the tournament organizers, the TOs, they're the guys that make the tournament what it is. Yeah. And I find like I'd rather you pay more money and get someone that's good, that's going to do a good job and do all the little things to get things, you know,
so
to
which
make
is
it a really
you want the good tournament organization?
I want
to You were bitching half an hour ago. Well, maybe not that long, but
okay.
Actually, no, it's pretty close at this point. 15 minutes to a half an hour ago, that you wanted a better location because this
one
sucked
all,
ass.
Ferret.
All you had was a Tim Hortons and a food court.
This is what we do, Ferret. How have you not figured this out?
Yeah, no. In all honesty, I mean, we'll move on from this subject, but
let's move to the subject of the question. The question everybody keeps asking me this week.
Okay.
Ferret, should I buy X from the Tempest block? The answer, yes.
No, are you sure? I don't think so, man.
Oh. Okay, Maddie.
Look, Wasteland at 64 tickets is a lot of money, dude.
Okay.
If that gets reprinted, I'm going to fucking be pissed off.
Matt?
Yes?
How often are PT seasons?
Every year.
Every 3 months.
Okay, well, that's why you're in charge.
You're literally talking two Pro Tour seasons before there is even a possible reprint.
Yeah, but the pros don't play.
You're 6 months away from a possible reprint. That is literally talking like the half between two core sets.
Okay, so you're saying that it's going to go off?
Two sets come out before they even do the MTGO special supplementary set that has like nothing to do with Magic other than MTGO. And then maybe, which honestly I'll put it at about 90%, we're going to get a Wasteland reprint. Now, you have been watching the market.
Yes.
On MTGO, how fast can the market move?
It's too fast for us to keep up.
It can move literally. You watch things drop 5 tickets in 5 minutes.
Yep.
I've seen it happen. If anybody was around during the Mystical Tutor ban, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
So.
Damn it, I had such a raging boner for like 5 minutes, and you just made it go away in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, so the truth is, like, is everything a buy out of that block? Or, I mean, I guess it is and it isn't.
I'm going to generalize here real quick. They have throwback drafts. Couple times every year, you know, and basically it's kind of during your off season in between like the major stuff that goes on. So it's like 3 to 4 times a year that you get different throwback,
draft.
And whenever this happens, whatever block that it is that they're doing the throwback draft, all the cards in that block end up going down. Like when they did Zendikar throwback, they ended up having all the fetches go down by a couple tickets.
Yeah, and we know shit's going to go up.
The thing about it is historically, Tempest block, when that gets taken and thrown into the drafts, one of the cards nobody really thinks about is something that's like Lotus Petal. That's typically a $5 card, and it drops down to like a dollar. Okay?
It's $3.90 now.
But you still get the point. It is, gotcha. it averages at 5. It can go as high as 8, 9. And it's just a comet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you see these big swings also with stuff like Wasteland. They go down, but they're going to go back up. And like I said, you've got 6 months. So let's say even theoretically that we've got 3 months before we end up having spoiler season kind of sort of start.
Sure.
For
Vintage Masters.
For the Vintage Masters. That means you have 3 months of it reinflating.
Really?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. All right. Let's see.
Maddie, here's
I'm
the
going,
thing.
Okay.
You live and your livelihood deals with online.
Yes.
Meaning that you can easily keep track of Wasteland and the spoilers. So the second the spoilers hit, you can drop it.
Yeah, but and who buys? First, nobody buys. This is the thing that
you sell to the bots.
Yeah, the bots. I will totally buy it depending on how much I've been drinking.
Yeah, the Kevy's the only one I can reliably sell cards to. All right, well I'll tell you what. I'm gonna buy it because I don't have any Wastelands. I'm gonna get in. We'll see. I think that's crazy money though, but we'll see.
Here's the thing though. If you legitimately don't need Wastelands and you're not just trying to make a take that window of profit,
then don't.
Because there will be a window there. That's all I'm saying is there will be a window to make a profit. Even with selling to bots.
All right. So, from the ferret's mouth, people. You heard it here first. Here's a real question, though. Jace, fucking Architect of Thought, is skyrocketing. Holy balls, man. The thing
he was
almost...
32 last I checked. What's he at right now?
38, 39.
Holy God.
Yeah, he's going to touch 40, which is absurd. He's more than Jace the Mind Sculptor, so that's funny.
That is kind
of
funny.
Isn't that? He's had a hell of a week.
To tell Jace the Mind Sculptor. Okay, here's the other thing on that. Jace the Mind Sculptor is eventually going to get unbanned in Modern. Yeah,
I know. I've been calling that.
I'm not
dude.
Saying it's this year. I'm not saying it's 3 years from now. But people keep forgetting. Modern is an eternal format.
They're going to switch
it
up.
It will eventually get unbanned. And then it may or may not get banned again. But the fact of the matter is once you have 10 years to 15 years of Modern going on, then you're going to see a lot of the things that are banned right now be unbanned. And, like, honest to God, one thing I'm surprised that hasn't been unbanned yet is Bitter Blossom.
I think that's just they don't want games to turn into fucking, I don't know. Well, maybe they
grind
do.
Grind fest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although, like, how does Bitter Blossom be combo? It doesn't. So maybe Bitter Blossom doesn't actually do much against – like the current decks
makes,
right now?
It makes your, what's it called? Spellstar Sprite live against them, right?
That's true.
You got like a million fairies.
But you need it on turn one.
You could possibly try doing some sort of fairy deck, but the point of the matter is Bitter Blossom still isn't like the begin all end all insta ban card that they ended up making it be.
Right.
I agree.
Especially now that we've got things like, Ratchet Pop is extremely common. Yeah. And then you've got sideboard cards, which just can totally wreck its day, such as Illness in the Ranks, which I swear to God, I think Illness was
Golgari Charm.
With both,
yeah, in all honesty, you know what? The more I think about it, I think I agree. I think Bitter Blossom could totally be played.
Oh, I definitely think Bitter Blossom could be fucking unbanned and it wouldn't be a fucking problem. I don't think anyone would play it. And it would be a problem. It's one of those things where, like, I don't know if they care to, because I think there's also a step in there that are like, okay, it's on the ban list, but, like, do we really care about unbanning it or just fucking leave it be on the ban list because who gives a shit? If we unban it, nobody's going to play with it because it's not strong enough to fucking do anything.
I think what it – you know,
they
honestly
– they want Modern to have an identity.
The reason I think that they don't unban it is because they don't want to have everybody bitching to unbanned Vision as – or Ancestral Visions. Because they're like, oh, it'll be a flying card. I'm sorry, boys and girls. Have you seen what that card does in competitive play?
Yeah,
especially
it draws
in a combo
three
deck.
Cards. Yeah, well, in a combo deck, it's unfair. So you're very real there. I agree with that. But I think in Jace isn't going to get unbanned right away. They will.
No,
but
it'll be years down the road, but it will happen, and it will make his value like ridiculous again.
Yep.
I think, well, I think they'll never unban him.
Really?
You don't think so?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But the whole point, he's Jace the Mind Sweeper. He's the key card. Like, if Modern ever gets
like,
to the point where
want,
it's stale...
Like, I don't think they want to put the legacy cards into Modern. I think that's kind of like the thing, right?
Actually, I disagree with you on that. I really do. Because eventually, the difference between Legacy...
Modern and Legacy will be
and Modern is... I think it'll just seriously be the difference of... Here's some ridiculous broken cards that were made pre-modern and stuff like show and tell that they're like, okay, that really should have never been printed in the first place.
And sneak attack.
Yeah. What's another one that I would say? Like, Mind's Desire, you know, stuff like that, that they just really should have never been there in the first place. That it'll be that and dual lands is going to be the only difference between the format, which I understand that is a fair amount of difference, but I can fully see them taking and eventually like reprinting the Onslaught fetch lands, for example.
Oh yeah, for sure. Those will absolutely.
Like me, I'm on the side of like banning the fetch lands.
What?
What?
Are you insane? The fetch lands make magic.
For there then.
I think to make it different from Legacy, they should take away fetch lands.
No.
I
can say I don't want them to take away fetch lands, but I can see where Frankie's coming from.
I cannot. What are you drinking, Frankie? That's crazy.
No, but like anyway, like you know, before the standard rotated, like we were playing like with the shock lands and the buddy lands, and like the mana was perfect. Like, why not make that the modern mana base? Like, I find it stupid. You know, to start your game
utterly
at the...
change.
Yeah,
that just completely utterly changes the face of modern beyond anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a huge problem?
I like Modern. You know what? The more I play Modern, I do like it. And I'm not going to play Legacy. I really don't want them to make it too different from Legacy, because the truth is, it's my Legacy. You know, Modern is my Legacy because I have the fucking cards. I'm slowly
getting. I think, in a sense, if you make it so much different than Legacy, then you have three fucking way standalone fucking.
But it's already different.
Okay, guys, I can actually give you an example here. Prior to Master's Edition being printed with the dual lands, okay, and I'm not talking Master's Edition 1,
okay,
that Legacy and Classic on MTGO didn't have the duels. You actually had decks viable. I mean, Burn was a viable deck to be playing because people would take and Lightning Bolt themselves all the time.
Hmm.
Like, in Modern, I find it kind of stupid to start at 17 life, you know, because you're bolting yourself with your first land drop, you know?
Well, then that's a personal choice.
Yeah, you don't have
to. That is a personal build choice.
I play Mono Black Devotion in Modern. I don't bolt myself for shit.
I bolt everybody else. But.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with the formats, but... onto the cards that were moving this week. Mutavault is another card that's up almost 5 tickets. It's like 24, 28 right now, which is, I believe that's
Holy
absolutely
shit,
retarded.
Did we call it when we told people to pick those bitches up at 6, hey?
Yeah, and we didn't listen because I didn't buy another place. Oh, man. I mean, you know what's funny, though? It's a rare. And it is a 4 of, so it's breaking this rule, and it's a land. And the more I watch this...
It's a core set land, too, which I'm just like, huh?
It's breaking all the rules of what a rare should do, but it's also setting a very interesting precedent, and that is that man lands are too good. And so,
I would never say man lands are too good, but one mana activated man lands that don't come into play tapped are pretty damn powerful.
Yeah, that have all creature types, which, man, that just makes that card stupid. So.
Now, even if it didn't have all creature types, it would still – I mean, seriously. Like,
yeah,
it
would still be good.
Factory, it would still be badass, and it would still be getting played.
That's true. That's very
Maybe
true.
Maybe not as much, but, I mean, it would still be seeing plenty of play.
So here's a question then. Okay, we all know the Worldwick Manlands, Concessional Colonnade, is still a fucking thing in Modern. I still get destroyed by that thing.
And creeping tar pit is fucking awesome.
Yeah, creeping tar pit I could deal with, but man, Celestial Colonnade is always such a pain in the ass in those blue-white builds where they're like, wrath, kill, counterspell, wrath, kill. Oh, you have nothing left? Okay, now Colonnade right, your face three times.
All right. Well, hey, Maddie, though to tell you that this card isn't breaking all the rules, go look at Thragtusk. It's following basically what Thragtusk did.
Yeah, that like I was gonna say that when you said breaking all the rules. Interesting. I have a feeling from everything that like you guys, you know, again me coming into this game fucking later than you guys. Like I'm starting to realize just with each fucking set we're talking about shit that's happened before with other cards. Which I mean, you still kind of have to compare it to that. But we look at shit that's happened before with other cards. But you realize like as this game is just exponentially growing and the financial side of this game is fucking out of hand exponentially growing, like things are gonna break rules from before that, like just left and right. Like, you know, I remember us, like you said, Thragtusk. I remember us talking about that.
Here's the thing about it,
that's fucking ridiculous. That's a rare for this much money. I don't doubt seeing that constantly now. You're gonna see rares that just blow up.
Here's the thing though, where I can see Maddie might be saying what he's saying is kind of true, which kind of somewhat halfway contradicts myself. I understand that, people. But what we have right now is we don't have a actual competitive scene other than the 8-man queues because the dailies are still down till next week. Oh, yeah, by the way, so everybody knows the dailies are coming back up next week on the 11th.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But so with that, you know, with having no competitive scene to be driving these prices and the cards starting to go through the roof like this.
Speculating.
That's completely crazy.
No, it's speculative. So word on the street is this. Because everyone jumped out of their collections, or at least so-called 10% of people, I think it's probably less, like 4%, a bunch of people dumped their shit. Anyways, we all saw what happened. The motor market dropped, and it instantly rebounded. But what happened is all those people that instantly bought in on all those lower prices are like, you know what? Since we're not going to get any information for the next 6 months, who knows? Like, I don't know when we'll get an official announcement. They're buying up the market of those tournament staple cards, because they know when the tournament players come back, the rush on those cards will be stupid and there will be a gigantic spike. So that's the word on the street on MTGO speculators that I've been hearing, and that is some shady shit. That is bullshit, but that's the way it is, man. That's why you're seeing Jace Immutavolt just go up, and man, I don't know. Although I guess watching blue, or if you're not playing black or blue, mono black or mono blue. I played I guess it was before the crash, I don't know, but I was playing a bunch of games, and it's just every second deck is either mono black, mono blue, and then out of nowhere I'll get this like burn deck just red burn, and I'm like, oh my god, like wow, it's crazy how fast. It's interesting. If you look at most Suba, they've got this really great breakdown of like the percentage of decks winning and the cards that are in them. So you can use like a percentage calculator to track, you know, which card is a 4x or a 3.8 in every deck or something. And it really is true. Like Mutavolt is like 3.89. It's the highest ranking card because almost everyone plays a 4 of in it.
Yeah.
So I can see why that one's trending. Jace though, I don't understand why Jace is like almost 40 tickets. I really don't get that at all. Because it's not even, like, in the mono blue deck.
He's the motherfucking boss, man.
I mean, I guess you're right. Like, he's Jace, and it is what it is. But in the blue decks, man, like, there's no tournament scene. So what the hell is he doing? It just defies a bit of logic for me. But all I know is this. Guys, if you're playing the 20 tickets, it's pretty slow right now. Nothing on the cheap end is really doing anything that you can spin up right now. Marcel, last 2 weeks, I think he's been saying, he's like, hey, man, you see Shocklands? I don't know if we're 20 tickets or not, but if they're like 3 tickets under and Ferret set at 2, you get those things because they're the really only safe thing that I would be going into right now. Everything else is all over the board.
Other than that, do what Kevy's doing. Just wait until the next set comes out and then make your specs and hope you hit them. Kind of like me with Thassa. Ha ha! You bitches were all like, "I don't know about her." I'm like, "Yeah, just watch."
Did you buy? Okay, I'll tell you what. Next sets when we do the previews, I'm buying whatever Ferret likes. I'm gonna buy 10 deep. God. You better make good picks.
No shit, that's actually probably the best way to go is let's just listen to Ferret and buy more than he does.
You know, it's still hilarious though when you think about it. I was like, yeah, I'll put my money where my mouth is on Rurik Thar. It got bad enough that people didn't even show up to get him.
No shit, I remember that. They're like, oh, really? We get a free Rurik Thar? Great. I don't have time to go get that.
All right, well, Kevy, I mean, Rurik Thar is just, we're going to let Rurik Thar just die because he didn't do what we wanted to do. But next.
What the fuck are you laughing at?
I have no idea, but here's the thing. So, Kevy, before I went to GP Montreal, I was checking Twitter, and you'd send a tweet that kind of scared me. He was like, all right, I'm putting on a shock collar, and then you disappeared for like 48 hours. So we were supposed to have a Magic Sunday event online, and I was looking for you, bro, but yeah. And I was like, I hope he's not passed out in a ditch and a shock collar's going off.
Well, I don't know. I don't
what happened?
Even saw the video.
You often wear that type of device, man?
Not on his neck.
Yeah,
yeah, not on my neck. No, it was, oh my god, that, I needed that. That holiday weekend was fucking awesome because, oh, shit got real fucking crazy.
Start at the beginning.
Oh god. Well, I'll start with this. If you go to fucking YouTube and you look up, what did I fucking call it? It's Shock Collars with Kevy Metal and Jay Hustle. yeah, it's on YouTube. Go see that video. my lovely fucking fiance and my wonderful fucking son, we're going up to Oregon to go see her family for Thanksgiving, and I couldn't go because I had I had the car show, like, for our motorcycle car club. We had the car show that we do like every year, Thanksgiving weekend on Saturday. And, you know, it had been planned for a long time. And then on top of it, my band was playing at the car show. So I was like, yeah, there's no way I can fucking go. So my family left and all of my responsibility left fucking the last fucking podcast you guys heard. That was the beginning of the end because it was like I got off work. Family had already left for fucking Oregon. And I knew I didn't have shit to do till fucking like Monday. And then, I don't know, the next 4 days were a blur, but I remember a good portion of it. I started off, like, you know, doing the podcast. And as you guys know, I got pretty drunk on the podcast, had a good time. Then, like, by the end of it, I did almost another fucking podcast after it because Marcel and I kept fucking talking. And then Marcel, I don't know if you guys know this fucking – you can go to fucking the Brainstorm Brewery page and check this out, but Marcel does a fucking MTG After Hours little thing that he likes to do, and it's basically the stuff that happens afterward on the podcast, you know, before and after that you guys don't get to hear after it's edited, which a lot of times is some of the funniest shit. Well, me and Marcel fucking get into talking, and he's like, hold on, shut up, I'm fucking hit record. So then I get into doing like a whole nother fucking ordeal with Marcel, like the after hours fucking heavy meta after hours bullshit with Marcel for another hour or some shit like that. We ended up talking, I don't remember how long that episode was, but we ended up talking for like another hour. And then I go over to my guitar player Jerome's house so that we can continue to get drunk. And fucking, we didn't have shit to do. I was going up with him to go see his family for Thanksgiving because my family was gone. And we were going up north to go see his family. So, like, hey, all we have to do is just get drunk until tomorrow morning when we have to get up at some point. And then your wife is driving us to where we're going. We're fucking set. So we continued to drink and continue to drink. I was fucking hammered, like, retarded drunk. It was fucking wonderful. So then, like, we get up there, and we've both kind of got this mindset, like, we basically have a free pass to just do whatever the fuck we want to do. We don't have to deal with responsibility. As long as we don't end up in jail, we're fucking fine. So We get up there and we go to, it's actually his wife's family up there, but we go to his wife's grandparents' house for fucking Thanksgiving. And Dro and I have been drinking all fucking day already anyway. And we get up to his wife's grandparents' house for dinner. Great fucking food, great fucking company. I sat around and talked to a bunch of World War II vets. They were fucking amazing, awesome fucking people. And, you know, they're still like, they're still our kind of people. They might be old.
They're our kind of people. Yeah.
They might be old, but we're not talking like some super, you know,
they enjoyed their
Christian
liquor, right?
Hustle. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, no, there wasn't a bunch of drinking going on or anything like that. You know, we had his brother Charles, or his brother-in-law Charles, like, had a bunch of beers in his car because we didn't want to be completely blatantly alcoholics at dinner. And so we'd roll out to the car, go grab a beer, drink that, you know. But, you know, as soon as, like, her grandparents fucking busted out after dinner, they're like, oh, we're going to have a glass of wine. I was all, sweet. Fucking flag is dropped. It's on. We're allowed to start drinking. And that's when I figured out, because there was, like, not really anything to drink in the house. We weren't going to drink their wine. But I had a raging huge bottle of vodka in the fucking car. So that's when I figured out that the sparkling apple cider that looks like it's in a champagne bottle on the counter, if you just fill that up and then add vodka to it, it's like champagne. So it doesn't taste anything like champagne. But it was, at the time, I was just all, well, shit, this is like fake champagne. And I got vodka in the car. That'll turn it into real champagne. So we were drinking apple cider and fucking vodka for a while. And then we make it back to Karen's wife, make it back to Karen's parents' house. At which they're alcoholics like we are. Not as bad as us, but they're alcoholics like we are. So we get to drinking again some more. And then we graduate from that house to her brother's house. And her brother is, I think I talked about this on the last cast, he's the type of guy, he's a firefighter. He just goes out and fucking bangs whores, has a good time. So he's like, A, we can hang out and drink for a little bit, but I got to go to Reno in the morning because I got a fucking wedding that I'm going to. We're like, right on. Let's do this. Well, we head over to his place, and then Drum and Karen's daughter, she's running a fever, and Karen's just like, you know, we're going to have to head back. You know, we've got to, you know, I got to get her home. It's only about 45 minutes north of where we're at. So, you know, we got to, you know, head back. We're like, all right, let's do this. Let's get everything together. She's like, there's no reason you guys need to go. Stay. Have fun. Hang out with Charles. Hang out with my brother. Have a good fucking time. We're like, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? And I'm pretty sure it was just, she's like, I can either bring these fucking drunks home with me or I can leave them here. And she's just like, no, seriously, you know, she's like, somebody will be heading to Ridgecrest in the morning. And if not, you can just take Charles' car because Charles is going to Reno. And he's like, yeah, no, no problem. You guys take my car in the morning. We're like, all right, fuck it, sweet. We're staying here. And then it got stupid.
And
just
then
now we
it
don't have
got
anywhere
stupid.
To go. Charles has got a bunch of awesome liquor and a Power Rangers helmet. And fucking, so we proceed to just have, like, the greatest time that three grown fucking adults can have at, you know, at any given time in life. Like, we're running around, we're playing all sorts of different fucking games and shit, getting wrecked, and then as we got more and more drunk, this turned into, I don't know where it fucking came from, but he's got, you know, his dog has a shock collar on that keeps it in the yard. He's got a little gate in the front, doesn't want the dog going through the gate, so we're like, how the fuck does that keep the dog in the yard, you know? What the fuck?
He's like, put it on, I'll show
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and he's just all, you know, well, like, how's that going to keep the dog in the yard? It's going to get shocked once or twice, and it's going to tell you to go fuck yourself, and it's going to leave. And he's like, no, it's pretty strong. Oh, yeah?
It's pretty strong. How strong is it?
And that's where the YouTube video starts. I had to upload YouTube because I couldn't send it to anybody because it's like 4 minutes long on my phone. But so Jerome and I decide, you know, well, fuck this. We're going to do this because why the fuck not? And, oh, my God, it was bad. That hurt so fucking bad. Like, don't ever buy your dogs a shock collar.
So just describe what does it do? Do you put it on your neck?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a collar. Put it on your neck. It's got it's got a little fucking box on it. And now there's like, what, you know, they call it like an invisible fence. You know, it's around the perimeter. And so when you cross it, it goes off. Now, Charles keeps trying to tell us, like, you know, if all you have to do is make it like 3-5 feet or something like that past the fucking fence line, and you're good. Like it won't,
turns off again.
Yeah, it turns off. And that did not even, one, it didn't register, and two, I didn't fucking believe it. Especially when you get shocked, like as soon as you cross the threshold and you get shocked like that, the last thing you want to do is keep going further. When your brain goes into survival mode, it's just like, oh God, going further is going to make it worse. I need to go back where I came from. So I went ahead and put the fucking collar on. And I, you know, stressing it out. And it, the best part is Jerome's just talking shit the whole time. Like I walked through the fucking gate, and that thing jolted the fuck out of me. And I was like clawing at my neck, trying to pull the nylon collar off my neck without undoing it. Like I probably would have been in less pain if I would have just snapped the thing on my neck, like just snapped it off my neck, than to take the fucking shock
I
was getting.
Oh my God.
But while I was doing it, I'm like, oh God, just get back in the yard. So I'm bailing back in the yard, trying to get back, and it's not.
Wait, you're forgetting the most important detail. The entire time you're doing this, you're wearing a fireman's helmet.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm
for wearing, what like, reason?
Well, because it's
safety. It's safety.
Yeah, it's absolutely safety. Stupid not to. But, yeah, like, just to make sure I'm good. This is the same helmet that kept me from getting my face burned in the fireplace before. So, you know, it seemed like a good idea. And so I go trying to bail through the fucking fence, and it, like, it, in the fray, I'm, like, trying to get back into the fucking yard, and it, I kind of fell the other way, like, back into the fucking mainstream, jolt your fucking head. And so I just literally got thrown on the ground. And I'm pissed, and I'm just, oh my God, it hurts so fucking bad. This is a terrible idea. And Jerome's laughing. He's just like, you're such a bitch. I'm like, no, yeah, I'm a bitch. Oh, dude, you check this out. I take the collar off. He's like, oh, that's all you're going to do once?
Once?
And so, you know, I'm drunk enough to go, oh, all right, fair enough. I'll put it back on. And I did it again. Oh, my God, it hurts so bad. So then we put it on Jerome. And this is my favorite part of everything that happened, and on the video, like, Jerome talks so much shit about me fucking being a bitch. I'm like, all right, we're going to put this on you, motherfucker. Now he's wearing a little kid's plastic fucking fire helmet. And fucking, we put that on him, and he's just like, yeah, all right, I got this. And he gets up to the edge. He's like, I don't know, maybe not. All right, okay, I'm going to do this. And that motherfucker, as soon as he walked across the fucking fence line, bailed all the way almost back to the fucking house. He's talking all deep and fucking, yeah, you're being a bitch. And as soon as it fucking hit his neck, he's like,
screaming little girls.
Oh, dude, it was so funny. So after this happens, you guys can go see that shit on YouTube.
That's just the beginning, right?
Oh, dude, yeah, that's where it started. We were hammered drunk. We've been drinking. And the best part is, like, you know, like I had said before, Charles, his fucking brother-in-law, like, he's just got liquor abound in his house. And we're just having a good old fucking time and drinking whatever the fuck we want to. And then finally Charles is like, I gotta go to bed. I gotta get up at fucking 6:30 in the morning, fucking leave and go to Reno. Right on. Have fun. And so we start playing we start bowling on the Wii. And, like, we're just getting drunk doing that. We're just like, you know, fuck it. He's got a Wii. He's got fucking the game that comes with it. It's got bowling. Fuck it. So we start bowling. And we started bowling for, like, fucking 6 hours or some shit like that. It was ridiculous. I'm not kidding, not joking whatsoever. If you press on my fucking ribs underneath my arm, it still hurts like a son of a bitch. Because we, you know, you don't think about it. If you're drinking and you're bowling with a little Wii controller, you know, it's not like it's a big workout or anything. But when you're doing it for hours on end and you're both extremely competitive and you're both hammered drunk, I might as well have thrown my arm out too at the same time. Like, we're just all, just fucking winging the fucking controller. Just all, yeah, we're going to fucking kick this game's ass. And we got drinking rules involved.
You're sore from Wii bowling?
Yeah, Kevin, you need to work out more.
Your life is getting a little sad, man.
No, hold on. Let me slightly defend.
It was extreme bowling. We know.
I'm sore from extreme wee bowling. And now, okay, I will confess, I don't fucking work out, and so I could see me getting a little bit of a workout and be like, oh shit, man, I'm sore. Jerome works out every fucking day. Jerome is a stocky, fucking large motherfucker. Works out every single day before work and like every other day after work. This motherfucker does his shit, but the problem is it works out muscles that you don't use.
Your wee bowling muscles.
Yeah, it works out your wee bowling muscles. And oh my god, dude, we were both so fucked up. So anyway, we're still drinking, and if somehow I don't fucking understand what the point was behind it. We are still wearing the fire helmets this whole time. Like, the next, it wasn't until, it was literally until we were finally going to sleep that we took these fucking helmets off. Like, Jerome's wearing a plastic kid's fireman hat, and I'm wearing this fucking chrome Power Ranger fire helmet. And, like, we're wearing it the whole night, like, fucking hours and hours and hours. Well, we're still bowling, and fucking, we keep hearing this rooster, like, sound. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, I keep bowling. You know, and at that point, like, you know, sun's starting to come up.
Yeah, what is that sound? Oh,
and we keep hearing this rooster. It's not an actual rooster, but it sounds like a rooster. And then we realize it's Charles's alarm. It's gone off a couple times. Then we're like, oh shit, is that Charles's alarm? And he finally comes walking out. He's late, and he's just all, oh fuck, because he only got a few hours of sleep. But we're still bowling, and we're still in our hats. And he's just like, all right, guys, well, if you need to take my fucking car, you know, do what you got to do to get home. You know, that's fucking fine. So I got to fucking go. So he bolts and he goes to Reno. And me and Jerome must have finished like 3, 4 more games after that. We're just like, all right, man, have fun in Reno. We're still drinking. Sun's up. Ah, this is starting to get depressing.
Oh, and my God.
So then that finally, you know, we pass out for a little while. We wake up like, I don't know, 5 hours later. I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. We've got to drive back home. It's like 45 minutes home. It's going to be fucking terrible. And like,
man,
Angels,
are you complaining about a 45
minute? I know. I was like, 45 minutes? That's nothing, dude.
No, I'm complaining because I'm fucking hungover as shit. And I was up all night beating myself up on shot collars and fucking wee bowling. But, but then the saving grace comes down. And we get a fucking, like, as we're getting in the fucking car, getting ready to leave, we get a fucking text message from Jerome's wife. And she's just all, hey, the girls are coming down, you're coming to Ridgecrest here in a little bit. Like, you guys should just ride with them. We're like, oh, thank God. So we actually got to take a nap and ride in the back of somebody else's car and not have to drive home. Now, that was fucking Friday.
That was one day.
Yeah, that was Thursday and Friday. I still had fucking the weekend hadn't started yet.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Probably take a little intermission here.
Nah, he's like, hold on, I need a drink before I tell this guy. This is the longest I've talked on this cast in a row.
No shit. I usually get interrupted, but I think it's because Ferret left. So then we had.
We're Canadian. We're too polite to
interrupt. No shit! You guys shouldn't fucking interrupt me anymore.
Yeah, shut up, Kevy, man. Let me talk.
Knock it the fuck off! I get all upset. If people interrupt me, I get upset, and I do it to them all the time.
What's the point of this story, if I might ask?
Yeah, there's no point.
There's no point whatsoever. This is just how drunk I got last weekend.
Man, we should move on to better topics. You know? Yeah. This has been covered already. Like,
it's been covered.
Hit the highlights, Kevy. Right?
So, basically, well, shit. Let me just put it this way. Without going into fucking extreme detail, I got home, and then the following day I had the car show for my – and we were supposed to play at the car show. So get up at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning so that we can get set up for everything. And then about 8:30 in the morning when all the cars start showing up and we just have the prospects parking the cars and there's nothing left to do – we start drinking.
Of course.
Because it's at a bar. And now, I might be a raging alcoholic, but I don't get up and fucking start drinking that early in the morning ever. But There was nothing else to do, so we started drinking. Now, long story short, between the car show and then the car show ending and us drinking all day, me playing a show in the middle of it, and then was it around 8 o'clock that evening, I think, we ended up, our car show's over, we're back at fucking, at our President Tom's house, barbecuing and drinking, of course, playing some beer pong and shit, which I haven't played in forever. I end up deciding, I'm like, fuck this. I need a fucking nap. I've been up for way too many hours. I'm fucking tired. So I go and I go pass out in my truck. I just curl up in a ball in my truck and pass out. Well, they all wonder where the fuck I'm at, and they come find me. And they're just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Come on. So they drag me out of my truck, and they take me in the house, and they go put me to bed in Liam, their son's room, because he's not there. You know, just lay down, fucking chill out, sleep it off. You're fucking good. I've been fucking drinking all day. They're just like, okay, you're good. Well, I'd also been drinking Red Bull vodkas all day long. So then about 20 minutes later, I wake up and go, what the fuck? They're trying to put me to bed? So I go back out into the living room. Like, I'm here. I've got my 12th wind and I'm fucking fine. And then continue to drink more. The rest of them are finally dropping off. And then we went to the bar. We went to the bar till 2 o'clock.
Drinking, and then more drinking.
And then We got it.
There's the highlights, Gary.
Then I had to walk home.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. This is bad, walking.
It's a 45-minute walk, too.
No, thank God it's not that long.
A 45-minute walk isn't even bad, dude. That's like 3 kilometers, 3 miles, man.
Oh, God damn it. And the kilometers.
With no shoes.
System. No, it was terrible. Like, let me tell you what. This fucking weekend was ridiculous. I had to walk home, got home, and then decided that I wasn't happy being at home because I didn't have my truck. So I walked from my house to Tom's house so I could curl up and pass out in my truck again. At like 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's where I ended up. So,
oh my God!
Now that you guys have heard the entire fucking story of why I disappeared for the Sunday, fucking, we were supposed to play Magic with you guys on Sunday, but that is my huge apology. Is for
yeah, there you go. That's what happened.
My apology
is
for why
drinking
I didn't
and
show
the
up.
Walking that did you, man.
It was mostly the walking.
It was the walking. I can usually handle the drinking, but it's the walking on top. It's fucking terrible.
When you're drunk, and especially when you're drunk walking, that's the worst. Because you, like, you know, you're probably going around in circles 3-4 times. So, you know, your 3 miles ends up being, like, 3.5.
The whole time, like, if you're walking home from a bar, dude, you know you're drunk. And you know that, like, there's a good chance you're going to get in some sort of trouble if cop rolls by. So you're not just walking down the street like a normal person. You're having to, like, duck into behind bushes and shit because you see headlights coming, and then some fucking random-ass Toyota drives by, and you're like, oh, man, fuck that car for making me think it was a cop. And then you keep going, and and then you're just like, oh, you know what? I should take this fucking side street because there's going to be way less cops on that street. And then you get on that street, and you see another pair of headlights. You're like, oh, shit, it's the cops. And then, oh, it's just another random-ass fucking Honda drives by, and you're like, fuck. All right, so it takes a hell of a lot longer to get home. A lot
dude,
more energy.
Hiding from the cops, huh? That's exciting.
It's pretty exciting, what I hear. So Mr. Richards, we've got, I mean, obviously, the thing that I've heard that you have circled on your calendar and you're counting down the days, I believe you're masturbating every week to it, is the Mad and Deprived KYT birthday batch coming in March, and you're going to be there. It's your hometown.
Yeah, man, hometown.
What are you going to do? You're putting, basically what I've heard through the grapevine is that you are the Scotty Mac of Montreal. Is this true?
Well, now I don't have, like, a physique as good as him.
Nobody does. I think only He-Man and maybe Schwarzenegger from its early 80s days are looking as good as Scotty right now.
Like, under 60 Sylvester Stallone, maybe. Like,
Stallone looks absurdly ripped lately, although he does so much steroids now. I don't know how his heart is still going. But In all honesty.
Well, yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do exactly for the GP so far, but, like, it's, oh man, like, those fucking GPs kinda suck for partying.
Why?
Cause man, they end up like super late, and then like if you're making
Frankie, first of all, it
kind
of
sucks. But I think we have to do something on the Friday night, because at least
Frankie, sleeping
special, you know.
Frankie, what person in the crew that is coming down on a train called Drunk Train do you think is making day two? First of all, I have to correct you right there. I don't think anybody that is going to this event gives a fuck about making day two. And if they do, you need to go in a separate train car because you will not be
on a separate train altogether.
Yeah, just take a plane. No, in all honesty, I don't know where the event is. That's what I was going to ask you about. Like, is it downtown? Like, do we got access to some cool places?
Like, the place is called the Palais des Congrès, which is the Congress Center, basically.
Is that so where the Pro Tour was?
Yeah, it's right dab in the middle of downtown.
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
So, it's not a bad location. I'm
so angry that I can't go to this one.
Oh, dude, it's going to be good. So here's the deal. So do you know the, what is it, Le Palau or whatever the fuck the hotel is?
Kevy, man, me and Matt were talking this weekend, and we got it figured out for you, man.
Oh, yeah, that's just, right. Yeah, I can't.
You just lie to your kid, man. The week before, you're like, hey, kid, happy birthday, motherfucker. And if you he won't know the difference, man. He, like, I was asking, like, do you even have a calendar in your Does the kid have calendar access, man?
It's not. I told you, Frankie, it's not the kid, it's the wife. The wife is the one you have to fool. And this is why I was saying, the idea is that Kevy just...
That's why they invented oral sex, man. Give it to her, man, and she's gonna be humming, you know?
She's just like, you know what? You know what? You're right. His birthday is in November. Fuck it. We missed it. No big deal.
Well, my plan was slightly more devious. I was gonna say that you need to shave a day off every month from here to then, and then you'll have a, like, 5-day window where you could be like, no, it's Tuesday.
How the fuck are you gonna scratch that shit off the calendar?
Hey, didn't we establish that you don't have a calendar in your
house? No, I have a calendar, and I figure even if I just happen to cut that square out once a month, and she doesn't notice, pretty sure she's got a phone with a calendar on it. But I like Frankie's idea. I like Frankie's idea, and I'll just fucking use oral sex to give me what I want.
Isn't that how it's all done, Kevin? Yeah.
Well, the women have figured that out. Like, I don't think it works quite as well for us men. Like, we're just all, I'll totally handle it. And she's like, all right, fine, I guess so. But that's not going to change the fact that you need to take the fucking trash out. You know, us, we're just like, fuck yeah, I'll buy you a new car.
So, okay, so I got a funny micro story for you about oral sex. So one of my friends,
it's as long or longer than
it's not a long one. It's just fun. It was one line that just made us all crack up. But, he'd gotten married earlier than all of us. And, he was the one always say, hey man, like, I'm the best. Like, I'm married, you know, my wife, like, thinks I'm a sex god, you know, like, he'd always go around telling us these retarded stories of, like, 5-hour lovemaking and all this shit, and we're just like, man, you're bullshitting us, whatever. So there was one time in front of all of us, we were at the hockey rink, and this wife comes to pick him up, and somebody started a conversation about pleasing women, and she's like, yeah, I don't get pleased very often, and he's like, baby, what are you talking about, like, don't I give the best oral sex in the world? And she's like, I could take a slushy from 7-Eleven and pour it down my pants, and that's pretty much the same as you giving me oral sex.
Oh, no. You gotta go get a new girlfriend or wife.
No, when she says it's so deadpan, and she's like, yeah, you put way too much spit. It's like you just poured fucking shit all down my face.
No.
And he's like, yeah, but... You gotta, I gotta get you wet.
That's the kind of shit you gotta be careful of. That's kind of shit that the guy will be like.
They're supposed to get wet by themselves, not from you spitting on them.
Yeah. Well,
apparently he was just getting high during biology class.
Yeah. I don't know, but it was just, it was one of those things that from then on, it was, he had a good nickname. We called him, Slushy from then on. He didn't like that, but it was pretty funny, man. Sorry,
hey,
Slushy.
It's
Slushy. Watch out. He's going to give you a slushy in your pants. He can make you come so hard. You just, boosh. Oh, that was the good old days. But Frankie, no, seriously, here's the real question that several people have asked me, and since you're closer to Batman than we are,
he's impossible to get a hold of these.
Oh, come on. Yeah, because he's always in freaking weddings. What the fuck is he doing?
I don't know, man. I write to him on Twitter, and he never answers.
Yeah, but
what a jerk.
I know, he's like your boyfriend, eh? And he's avoiding you.
Oh, man. He's a total fucking bitch right now.
Do you think that the idea of the wheelbarrow is a good idea?
What idea is that?
Oh, you don't know the wheelbarrow idea? Okay, oh, yeah. So the plan of the weekend is that when we arrive on Friday, I will go to the nearest hardware store, and I will buy a wheelbarrow. And then we will take the wheelbarrow and we will all sign it, and Durf can draw shit on it, and we can make it basically a tribute to KYT. And then once we've done that, we are going to get KYT so drunk that he will never be able to get out of that wheelbarrow. And we will wheelbarrow him all wherever he wants to go the entire weekend. And if I can find one, I will hire a little French midget to wheelbarrow him around.
Yeah, you guys have to have KYT wheels around.
We need
a fucking wheelbarrow.
That sounds a little weird.
No, it doesn't. You're just thinking it's weird because you're not seeing it from the aspect of KYT. He's going to feel like he's in a throne. We could put like a red blanket in there. We'll tell him it's like it's the birthday throne. And we just keep feeding him margaritas.
Oh, like, yeah, that doesn't seem like the shit that KYT would do, you know? He's not as crazy as you guys.
But that's the point. We
want to take him out of his comfort zone, eh?
Yeah, I think
exactly.
So.
Get him wrecked, stick him in a wheelbarrow, and then fucking roll him around. I guarantee you, KYT, even the way KYT is, like, you know, he's pretty straight-laced, but you get a few drinks in him, and then when he realizes he has the power to just point, and somebody will take him there.
Yeah, power corrupts absolutely.
Then he will be like, I see how this works. And then that's where shit gets real cool. Because then somebody starts videotaping. As soon as that transition happens, and he's like, wait a second. I can point, and this motherfucker will take me there. And then he's just going to run all over the fucking place and have a good time. Or at least have it at the after party.
Hey, all I know is this. If we're racing up and down the hallways of this hotel with KYT in a wheelbarrow having wheelbarrow drunk races, I don't know how this isn't amazing. That's pretty amazing to me.
No, but like, I don't know, like, I'm not sure the hotel people are going to enjoy you guys doing this shit.
Yeah, but I'm going to be wearing a Wizards shirt the whole time. And so that if they yell at
shirt.
Yeah, because we're going to stay at the same hotel the Wizards staff is at, one floor above them. And so they give me shit. I'll just be like, hey, I'm from Magic the Gathering. If you have a problem, you add it to our bill.
That'll totally work, I swear.
I know, right? Like, I'll just tell them I'm Aaron Forsythe.
Man, you guys are just fucking crazy.
I think it's good. I'm pretty sure it's a good
idea. We may or may not do that. We haven't decided yet, but
yeah, like the wheelbarrow thing, I highly doubt it's feasible.
Why? Because we don't sell wheelbarrows in Mars.
Now I see this as a fucking challenge.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Now I see pictures of fucking KYT in a wheelbarrow.
Well, then you know what? Well, then I'm just gonna knock KYT out and fucking pour booze all over him, stick him in the hotel, and then I'm gonna put him in front of his front door and ring the doorbell on Sunday morning.
It's already been well documented. Apparently, we've got, like, fucking the craziest fans in the fucking universe. So you should get a couple of SVU dudes to, you know, make him get in the wheelbarrow.
All I know is this. If
then we're gonna, I mean, we're not going to be allowed on Mana Deprived anymore. No. But you
it's
know.
Our crescendo. It's our crescendo.
Yeah, this is how we're going out.
If Slick Jagger comes this thing, all bets are off. It's all there will be no rules.
Where is he from, man?
He's from Philly, man.
Philly, okay, so that's not too far.
No.
Him and Motika are bringing up like their
Brainstorm Brew.
Brainstorm Brewery, like they're brewing a beer for Marcel's cast, Brainstorm Brewery, and they're bringing it up there to unveil it. And you guys are all going to get so drunk on fucking magic beer. It's going to be fucking amazing. And I'm so pissed that I'm not there. I think I'm going to take you guys up on the whole shave a day off the calendar and try to convince my fucking woman to let me go.
Now, here's
the... Well, you know, I don't know what your plans are for the year, but, like, you should have, like, at least one magic trip per year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely for that.
That would be it, right?
But that would be it, but that also involves me getting a passport. That also involves me flying to fucking Canada. And it also involves me convincing my girlfriend that the one magic
do
trip
you have
year...
a criminal record?
Yeah, he
does. Oh, yes, I do.
Unfortunately, he's actually not allowed. He's not just...
That's the thing. I think I might be allowed in Canada now. I think the statute of limitations...
has a weird off.
Like, I think I'm actually allowed in Canada now, because I used to not be allowed there. We had to cancel a fucking Canadian tour because we figured out that me and my singer both weren't allowed in the country. But I think that's gone now, and I should be able to. But also, again, the hardest part of this whole fucking ordeal is convincing my girlfriend that the one magic trip of the fucking year that I am gonna take is fucking on my son's birthday.
we'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be humorous, but
we'll get something figured out.
Yeah, it'll be good. In all honesty, I just wanna the drunk train
well, if
sounds
you
fun.
If you can't come, like I mean, because of your legal status, I mean, like.
But see, that's
like,
the thing.
It's not your choice, right?
See, like, I think I'm allowed to get in because of my legal status. I think that is all done and you know said and done now. But yeah, because I've the DUI on my record. Like from the last time when we checked when we were supposed to do this Canadian tour, we were like Jason's fucked our singer. Like he's fucked for like ever. But it was like you know if I had like it had to have been 5 years since my like sentencing was completed for my DUI and it. Wasn't at that point, but now it's long past and we're good. So okay. I think I'm allowed in Canada now. But it's, yeah, again, the whole fucking convincing the girlfriend, which is like it's easier to get past the law than it is to convince my girlfriend. Like I could tunnel under a fence and get into Canada easier than I could convince my girlfriend to let me go.
But does she know about it yet?
About the tournament or about the GP?
Yeah.
No.
I love it. He just
start, you have to start working early on that stuff.
Oh, God damn it. You guys come to fucking Canada, aren't you?
You have to beg, man. Just beg.
Yeah, it's true. You know, in all honesty, I think.
Get on your knees. You're like, please, baby.
You
I'll
need,
do
you know,
anything. I'll eat your ass. I'll do anything.
I will totally eat your ass.
That's that right there. That's how you win any argument with a woman, right there. That's
yeah,
Frankie
I'm,
Richards'
I'm
knowledge.
Just go upstairs and be like, Frankie said,
if I eat your ass,
I can go to GP Montreal. So, just don't make this weird.
Don't make this weird.
Yeah. And I'm going to tweet you the picture of my black eye.
Then you did it wrong. That's the thing. If you eat the ass properly, everything is good.
Everything's fine. No, I, you know, hey, and to all all the fucking haters out there that think fucking that we hate the A-team and shit. I'm gonna fucking eat some ass and get a black eye to try to come to fucking GP Dorado for fucking KYT's birthday. So there you go.
I thought you were gonna say for all the people that think we hate the A-team, I'm gonna eat Jay Bush's ass to prove that I love him.
Well, I mean, it depends on how this goes. I mean, shit. If I eat my girlfriend's ass, get into Canada, or go to a GP in Canada, then well, fuck, man, I'll see how far this takes me.
I mean, you've done so much, that last step wouldn't be like.
He's gonna go to. He's gonna go to.
I'm just gonna buy a fucking roll of fucking Saran wrap and just carry around dental dams in my fucking back pocket and be like, "Oh, hey man, I need bus fare home. I'll eat your ass."
Hey, dude, that only pussies use fucking protection. You gotta get in there and get chocolatey.
Yeah, but if I'm gonna turn this into like a, this is how I'm gonna get everything I want in life. I'm gonna start eating ass, and fucking everything. Like, I'm gonna want to start protecting myself at some point. It's one thing to eat my girlfriend's ass to get to fucking Canada. It's another thing to fucking eat Jay's ass just to be like, well, hey, what's up, man? But then you start eating strangers' ass for butter sandwiches. Like, it's you're gonna want to start protecting yourself.
It's
at some
a
point.
Slippery slope. Bro. Yeah, I'm doing it for. To get what you want,
I could just see him at work. He's like, "Hey, boss, I need a week off." He's like, "I can't do it.
I need vacation. I'm gonna just all, hey, well, hey, I'm gonna take care of that."
Hold on, I can fix that right now. You get a flat tire. You're on the side of the road. The guy stops.
I'm just standing there with a sheet of fucking Bisqueen in front of my face, just sticking my tongue out. Just says fucking, "I'll eat ass for a fucking flat fix on."
He goes into the fucking convenience store and he's like, "Hey man, I'm short a nickel for this pack of smokes." He's
like, if this is gonna fucking, if this is gonna get me where I want in life, as well get used to it. I'll screw my job.
Oh man, that right there is it. Maybe it's the secrets of the universe. I mean, Frankie has proven
every
to
time
us.
Frank comes on this podcast, he drops secrets of the universe. Last time it was fucking that masturbation is the key to being happy in life, and now it's eating ass is just how you get where you want. And, like, he's just dropping his fucking 5-step program, and I can't wait to get to step 5.
What is step 3 like?
Yeah, step 3 is going to be bad. Step 5 is terrible.
Oh my god!
As it is now, as far as Frankie's concerned, and I'm concerned for Frankie's health, by the way. But as far as Frank is concerned, it's just like fucking. You masturbate to keep yourself happy and healthy, and then
you just eat ass to get everything
to get ahead in life.
Isn't it hilarious that you don't give head to get ahead in life? You eat the ass.
No. You go straight to eating.
Maybe that's why everyone's doing it.
There's probably 10 other motherfuckers standing in front of that job that will suck your dick, but which one of them's going to eat your asshole?
That's what I'm saying. He's doing it different. If everyone's going left, you go right. If everybody's sucking dick, you eat ass. It's the way it goes.
Exactly, man.
I don't know, Frankie. You're blue.
All the cool kids were doing it,
Oh, Maddie, yeah. I can't wait to see the banner that you come up for this one.
Oh man, I'm on a roll for making bad ones. I don't even know how I could make a good one. Maybe a picture of you on the side of a road. I don't know.
Just a blank background who just says Kevin and Frankie talk about eating ass to get ahead in life. That's all you need.
I don't think we're going to be allowed. I'm going to have to put A, star, star. Oh, man, Frankie. I got to say, this is it's been enlightening, as always. I don't know what we would do without you, man.
We've discovered new things, that's for sure.
We've discovered new things.
The world is your oyster, I guess, if you want to crack it.
Yeah.
Or maybe the world is just a dirty asshole that needs licking. And if you're willing to do the dirty work, you get the rewards.
Oh, no.
You know, life is like a box of chocolate.
Oh, God, you went there.
Yeah, it is. You never know what you're. No, actually, yeah. Isn't life? Yeah.
No, it's life is like a box of chocolates. You got to eat more to get ahead.
I thought it was life is like a dirty asshole. You got to eat it, and you never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, that'll work too.
Oh man,
there's lots of Forrest Gump proverbs we can get out of this.
I don't wonder how much ass Forrest had to eat.
Fuck. Hey, before we get too far out ahead, I got a couple shout outs I wanted to fucking
Yeah, shout out, man.
Which, you know, they might turn into another fucking hour worth of fucking us talking, but who knows? First and foremost, I want to fucking shout out fucking the proxy guy and Robot Large for the fucking SVU guys. They are fucking blowing me away. Like, the shit that they're doing is fucking awesome. And especially on this last episode with fucking Trevor the Homeless.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I am going to purposely fuck your Twitter name up for the rest of my life. But I love you. No, like, that fucking cast was awesome. I didn't realize it was out until, like, somebody said something about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, shit, cool, the next one. And I listened to it, like, this afternoon. Which, by the way, fucking, I don't know if Robot Large is a marketing genius like Maddie, in a sense. But whose idea was it to fucking release the cast the morning or afternoon before we cast so that we can fucking have it fresh in our minds and talk about it?
Yeah, that's all them. Wednesday. I told them it's a good day, man.
That was fucking awesome, because now I'm just all, man, I just finished listening to the SVU cast. I want to talk about it. If you guys did this 2 days ago, I don't fucking remember it. but no, it was really good. I was blown away. Like, they got very fucking serious, very fucking deep into some shit. You guys, if you haven't listened to it yet, go to Man Enterprise, listen to the SVU cast. They touch on some very, very important and good shit, and it's very serious. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh my God, this cast is awesome.
Yeah, it's like what someone told me. They're like, hey man, the cast is basically like heavy meta, but it has no drinking, swearing, or Kevy, or Maddie, or Ferris. Yeah,
or any of you guys.
So that's what it is.
No, there's a tweet. It was like, you know, I'm actually like, I've heard a couple people, they're like, man, you know, this is kind of replacing replacing heavy meta for me, and I'm fucking stoked about that. Like, yep, you know, one of the things that, like, with this whole fucking ridiculous whirlwind of bullshit with the heavy meta fucking A-team crap, one of my biggest points was, like, we're different casts. We do different shit. And, you know, today it was like, so I'm actually liking this cast more than fucking heavy meta. Is that wrong? No, that's not fucking wrong. Everybody's got their different shit. Everybody does things differently. And I absolutely 100% support what those guys do. And they are way more fucking put together than we are. We're just a bunch of drunks. They fucking happen to talk about magic here and there. But, like, you know, those guys are doing such a good job. And I love the whole fucking idea of what they've got going on. Like, you know, we'll bring in another person from the SU. It's got, you know, wrapped around the fucking banner. But we're going to bring in a different fucking person. This isn't like listening to fucking heavy meta all over again. This isn't like, you know, us talking about heavy meta. It's like, you know, hey, we all like that fucking podcast. Now let's talk about this community that's built around it that you guys did. You know, we had nothing to do with. Fucking, for God's sakes, you know, fucking, I don't do anything that doesn't involve me. but you guys all fucking made this community.
It's the 12-step program that goes...
Exactly.
That helps you recover from heavy meta.
There you go.
Exactly.
They
did such an awesome job of fucking, like, laying out, like, serious issues, fucking talking about it. And it was very fucking entertaining. I loved it. I gave you guys a
it's
huge
the Dr. Phil to the Oprah that you guys are.
Mm-hmm. It's more like we're Jerry Springer and he's Oprah. That's actually a more fair comparison.
That is a very more fair comparison.
I do have a shout out though to Luke on Twitter at Narinan. He had a great idea, Kevy. You ever play Cards Against Humanity? Well, he's like, hey, we should make a heavy meta version of that.
I saw that.
And I am like, yes, please, let's do this, because that is fucking amazing. Oh my god, we gotta do this, so.
Oh, and by the way, this is the same, like, this is the same Luke that said it. He can't stand how loud my fucking voice is. Now, I wanna give you a lesson on making fun of people for their disabilities. I can't help but talk loud. It's not my fault, it's what happens.
Look, like.
I'm kinda like a midget.
Yes. Hey, like, midgets have their own, you know, drawbacks. Kevin's drawback is he's loud. That's just what it is, bitch.
I cannot control the volume of my voice!
No, another shout I just wanted to give real quick would be, what the fuck? Of course, I can't remember the dude's fucking name when it comes time to shout you out, man.
Let me give one in the
meantime. Yeah, go, hit me.
This weekend I ran into, of course, Durfington.
Ah.
Which you guys probably know and love as well.
I have no idea who that is.
He's such a liar.
And, I don't know if you are aware, but I've been trying to acquire the Power 9.
Oh.
Well,
wait, Frankie, if you really want a Power 9, you do know that all you have to do is just eat fucking ass to get what you want.
Yeah, well,
this 9 bundles.
Just head over to Face to Face.
My special lady, you know?
Just go over to Face to Face and hook up Sal.
Yeah, I know Sal would do it.
This episode is brought to you by
Space
Games.
Oh, no. In a heartbeat.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but Alex Ain got a paper signed from Match Balls that says, if Alex reaches platinum, I'll have sex with him. And he signed the paper and he gave it to him.
Oh, no.
And then, like, we were trying to figure out, you know, how to use it. And we were also saying, like, because, like, he didn't put a date or anything on it. So it's like an open invitation. Like, he could be 60 years old and, like, oh, I've reached platinum. Like,
pony up, bitch.
Exactly.
Hey, man, I'm not a lawyer.
We were trying to find out how to use it, you know, to, like, because, like, you don't want to
for maximum advantage.
You don't want to be too gay, and, like, so I was saying, you just come in his face or things like that, you know. You just fuck him with a strap on or something like that.
I mean, in all honesty, I'm not a lawyer, but that contract sounds legally binding to me. I mean,
it does.
I don't know. Like, I think, in all honesty, if you do decide to cash it in, there's...
It's not every card dealer that will give you those type of coupons, eh?
Well, yeah, normally they just throw in a couple free penny sleeves. I don't know any that are like, hey, anal sex is on the table if you want it. Oh, did it specify what type of sex, or it was just open there as well?
No, it's just sex. It could be
anything.
It could be interpreted in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I want
I want it
interpreted by lawyers.
We were considering the use of a glory hole as well. To make it more fun, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure a glory hole breaks the boundaries of that contract, but...
Oh, no. I can totally see it now. Like, painted around the glory hole is the fucking white manta symbol, and then, like, the rays coming out for the miracle. It's just entreat this motherfucker.
Oh my goodness!
Anyway, I was talking to Durf, and he has the he has the two last pieces that I don't have, which is Mox Ruby and Mox Pearl. And we had arranged for him to show me the condition they were in. So I was able to check that out. And I also threw the idea of him altering one of the pieces.
What? You actually are going to alter a real piece of power? No.
Well, that's I'm considering it. I mean, I'm buying it from Durfington.
Yeah, like, and that's fucking awesome. And first and foremost, if you're going to buy the pearl, you need to just do a Mox Pearl necklace.
I mean, in all honesty, like, a piece of power is one thing, but then the only piece of power ever to exist with Durfee in art, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, I don't know if Durf, like, I don't know if he'd be able to handle it. Like, not that Durf couldn't draw it, but I think Durf would be like, fuck this, man. I don't want to draw on a piece of power. Like, I know I would do that shit.
I've been talking to him about it a little bit on Twitter, and, like, it's a lot of pressure, I mean.
Yeah, that's got to be a ton of pressure.
I fucked up, Frankie. I spilled ink all over it.
Yeah, like, I completely drew this wrong.
I don't know, like, I don't want to force him into doing it, so we...
No, I think, we'll like, discuss, it, like we'll being serious it, for but... a second, I think it's a fucking awesome idea. Like, absolutely, I think it's an awesome fucking idea, and it would be fucking rad if you do it, but I understand, like you're saying, there's a lot of fucking pressure, you know?
But, like, I think, like, if... The thing is, if I'm having him do an alter, I think, like, Durf is all about, like, the characters. Because, like,
yeah.
if you read his comics, you know, he always has the
yep.
different characters. So, like, if I'm doing... Like, the one I was thinking of... Like, I was thinking of having him do Mox Ruby. I was trying to think of, like, which character he could draw on it. And
Ruben Bresler.
Yeah, that no, would no, be, but like that would
I was thinking,
good.
I was thinking of red cards, you know, and like the yeah. top three that came to my mind were Shivan Dragon, which is basically the big baddie card. Of red, the iconic, Lightful. Most iconic creature. I was thinking maybe Young Pyromancer because
that's a good idea.
It's a cool card that is seeing play in vintage as well. Or just Chandra, because
Chandra, yeah. You know I don't think like I like all those ideas. I think me personally, like this probably won't influence your decision. If you could do it, especially because you just have the ruby hanging there, is a Goblin Guide with the lantern.
Oh, that's awesome! And the ruby is the lantern.
Just have the ruby be yeah. the lantern. That would be kind of cool. Like, me personally, if I was going to have a fucking piece of power fucking altered, if you could fit it frame-wise and do it right, I think, like, yeah. the lantern that's hanging for Goblin Guide, you know, what says red to me besides, like, Lightning Bolt is fucking Goblin Guide, and that would be fucking sick, too, just to have, like, the fucking the
yeah,
lantern.
Yeah, just the goblin is pretty cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like the art on it. But, yeah, man, like, I think... Like, as long as Durfect is down for it, I think you should go for it. Like, I think
yeah, well, cool. I want to give him, like, some latitude as well, you know, like...
Absolutely.
Like, we probably, like, for him, I want to make it easy on him, you know, so that he, like, I don't ask him to do, like, too much, you know, and like, there's also certain rules about alters, like, to keep them, like, tournament playable, because, like, I obviously want to play them, so... Like, he wouldn't have to do, like, a full frame and...
Yeah, you can't yeah. cover... What is it? You got to leave the... All the text can't be edited.
Well, no, like, the picture over-covered. You tweeted earlier today, Frankie, like, of...
Yeah,
of,
yeah. I thought, like, these ones were really, like, in the range that we're looking for.
Right, and they're done so tastefully. They look so good, and they're done so tastefully and so well. Like... I mean, something like that would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I like the dragon as well, because, like, those were the...
That'd be cool.
The yeah. dragons.
Absolutely.
All right, well...
Shout out to Durf. He's giving me a good deal on the moxes, so I'm pretty happy about it. So.
How many times do you have to eat his asshole? How many
one
times?
One for each.
Be surprised, man.
Oh, man, well...
Oh, I'm not even done yet! Fuck it.
Oh, no. All right.
Don't even try.
Well, I was just going to say I had one more shout-out, and that was...
Oh, okay.
Spellbomb for the win, just because he wanted his first shout-out. So there you go, buddy.
Oh,
boom. Right.
I want to give a shout-out to your girlfriend's asshole, because, like, it's going to attack me later, Kevin.
You know, under any other circumstances, I just end the episode right there. That's fucking awesome. Hey, I want to shout out my girlfriend's asshole, too, because it's beautiful.
Oh, my God, we're going down. We are just in the butthole end of this episode right now. Some would eat us out right now.
Some
When Farrah will listen to the end of this cast, he's gonna
wonder where the fuck we went. Like Farrah's gonna have a like renewed fucking like mission in life. He's like, okay, I can't leave the cast because these idiots, if left unattended, they're completely fucked.
Oh, well, Frankie, I need you to shout out a certain city.
No, you don't, because I'm not going for shout-outs, bitch.
Oh, god damn it. Hurry up, brother.
I was doing this, but I gotta give a fucking shout-out to fucking Shadow Fox, fucking Topher.
Oh, yeah, okay, hit him.
We didn't even get near this tonight, surprisingly. I probably could have cut out a half hour of my drunk story and just told you to watch the YouTube video. But, shout out to fucking Shadow Fox. What is it, 57, 78, 90, Blink 182.
Fuck it, whatever.
he got me a fucking beta key for Hearthstone, and that game is fun as shit. Like, I guess he got one from a buddy or something, so he's like, when I get mine, I'll hook you up. And then on top of, like, he's all, hey, man, I got my fucking beta key. Do you still want it? And I was like, fuck yeah, I do. And then Ferret's all, hey, man, in all honesty, those things are worth money. Like, you should just buy a fucking gift, you know, sell it and buy a gift for your family. And then I checked my fucking DMs, and I had the beta key, and I was like, ah, man. And then he's just like, eh, no big deal. Fuck it. I was like, right on. So I have, I started playing it, fucking, and now I'm addicted. That game is fun as shit. It's pretty basic. You know, which I'm sure people have talked about before. Like, it's pretty basic compared to Magic, but like there's still a lot to it, and it's really balanced, and it's a shit ton of fun. Like, I've heard people say, you know, if you play Magic, you kind of not have an advantage, but like, you know, you kind of get it quicker.
Have an advantage.
I actually think it was kind of a disadvantage to me because they start you off with the female Jace.
The female Jace.
Yeah, anybody that's played fucking Hearthstone, yeah, that's the female Jace.
Okay.
And you start off with her. She's a mage, you know, her class. And it's kind of one of those things you have, like, you pick your hero who's got, like, you know, you have classes. So you have a bunch of cards that you can put in your deck that are, like, you know, anybody can use. And then you have class-specific cards. And there's like, I want to say like 10 different classes or something like that. And,
Kevy, don't tell me too much because I want to play it. So let me play it first and then we can.
No, I'm not going to let
you. No, don't spoil it. I want to play it raw.
All right, fine. I'm going to let all you motherfuckers play it raw. Definitely like when the beta does go, because the beta goes like public, I think in like a couple weeks or something. So definitely get on and play it because I like that game. It's fun. I'm gonna quit playing Magic. I'm gonna play.
No, Surfer. Don't, Jesus! Don't.
It's so much easier.
And it's free. Do you gotta pay for cards?
Well, you can. Like, you get packs and shit like that. Like, you get packs for winning. Or you can buy packs. But from what I understand, like, I mean, it's not as intensive as Magic as far as that goes. But it's like you can buy packs to, you know, just like we would. You know, it's not like you have to go.
But there's no singles marketplace.
Yeah, there's not a singles marketplace where you're like, well, fuck, I need this fucking card to build this deck. You're just like, well, shit, I'm going to have to buy packs or win games to get packs so that I can get that.
Honestly, I mean, I watched, you know, Evan Irwin talk about it and a few people talk about it. I watched the How to Play video, and I'm like, I don't see how that's a Magic killer. I mean, it looks like Rules of the Planeswalker computer.
It's very similar in feel to that, except for like if Duels of the Planeswalkers actually let you get into playing against other people, like other, you know, random fucking people and building your deck how you want to. Like, you know, Duels, of course, like you can play against other people, but you're restricted kind of to what you have, like in the game. I guess kind of same thing, but you can just like freely build your deck. And of course, like the gameplay is a little bit different. And, you know, they've got shit that like obviously came straight from Magic that, you know, you're like, oh, okay, you called it something different. And then you have other abilities, you know, you have like, you know, creatures have haste, but it's called something else. And then you have like abilities like Battle Cry, but instead of like the Battle Cry we're used to, it's like, you know, when this player or when this creature comes into battle, it's like a triggered ability is what Battle Cry is for them. It's like when this creature comes into play, then it does this and it's called Battle Cry. But yeah, it's, you know, it's similar enough to Magic, but it's a little bit different. Like, I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we'll figure it out. When we get to see it, we'll give it a run through and see what the deal is. Frankie, you play any of those games?
I'm excited because I get to fucking play it before you guys do.
I know.
Yeah, like, one of the guys I was driving with to Toronto, he played the game, and Alex had also tried it, so they were explaining a little bit how it worked, and I'm kind of like waiting for it to be openly available to give it a try.
Do you play any like Soul Forge or Kajudo or any of those other kind of games or nah?
No, not really. I bought into the Kickstarter for Soul Forge, but I haven't played it yet.
I know, so did I. I never played it. And I have no desire to play it for some reason. I don't know why.
I'll probably give it a try. Like it looks fun.
Easy is what it is. Like there's thought process to it, but like it's easy. It's laid back, but still fun. I guess.
I've played Ascension.
No, I haven't played that either.
Any of these motherfuckers.
No. I'm fucking horrible.
But it actually, you know, what it reminds me of a lot is. Maddie, I tweeted this to you a long ass time ago, and I don't think you ever even paid attention. There's a game I have on my fucking iPhone I've been playing forever on and off called Shadow Era, and it's really, really similar to Shadow Era, and it's basically just the way it works. You know, rather than like you know, as in Magic, like you're just the planeswalker. And then all the spells you're casting, like the very basis of the game, all the spells you're casting are, you know, you're doing your shit and they have to knock down your life total. It follows that, but at the same time, it's like you have, like, rather than just casting creatures, it's like allies. And then, like, at times, you yourself, as your fucking, your character, you know, depending on the game rules and stuff, you can attack the other character, you can attack the other ones. And what I also really like about it, like one of the biggest things that I like about this is you have, which is very similar to the way Shadowforge works, is there's no like land, like your resources as far as mana goes. It's not you still get one fucking mana a turn, but it's not like you don't get mana flooded. You don't get fucking mana screwed. It's every fucking turn, you like everybody's on the same level as far as mana goes. You know, you can cast something for one on turn one. You can cast something for two on turn two. Like, that's it. And so you don't have to deal with the fucking whole mana flood and drought situation. So I kind of like
that. Interesting. I don't know. We'll see. I'm still skeptical on all that stuff because I think it takes away a lot of the complexity of what Magic is.
It
but
does.
I...
And again, it's not nearly as complex. But like I kind of like how that works, and I, like with Shadow Era, it's different. Like Shadow Era, you have to use cards from your hand to like you know each turn at the beginning of the turn you can you choose any card from your hand and you turn that face down. Those are your resources. That's your mana. And then like with you know with Hearthstone, it's like you just flat out get a mana crystal every turn, and everybody goes up the same fucking rate. But I mean, there's just different, just like any other fucking game. There's different ways to abuse that. There's different ways to build your deck around it. Like knowing, like you know, if you knew in Magic, if you knew that you were going to, like if there was just you know, took the lands out of it kind of thing, and you just knew that you were going to have one mana per turn. And it's going to get there. You're like there's no mana flood or screw. It would completely change the way the game works. But it's not like you know people aren't going to figure out good ways to abuse it and ways to just get fucked by it. So I don't know. It's just a different set of rules. I know you've said before you like deck building with restrictions. It's like playing Magic with restrictions.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll be fun. I'll give it a shot, man. Who knows? Like, Christmas break should be good, so we'll see. I wanted to give a quick little note to everybody. Hoodies are still in the works. Just dealing with bullshit right now, but just stay tight, people. We should be taking orders next week. And if not, we're going to take names and Basically in order.
Take names and then fuck people up.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to eat your ass.
No. We're going to eat your asshole.
Oh, nice. How do I get on this list?
Yeah, how do I get on the list?
Frankie, we all guests get put on the list regardless. Don't worry.
I'm calling dibs.
I'm calling dibs.
Hey, I got a fucking... Hey, before we get off this fucking cast, I got a fucking couple questions. I tweeted and I got a couple questions. You guys want to play with them?
Sure.
All right, let's see.
We'll take one question, make it a good one.
No. We got two at least.
All right, fine.
All right. First one, Sean Webster, MTG Don. If you two were – oh, this is just – oh, sorry, Maddie, you're not involved in this one. If you,
all right.
This is just me and Frank.
All right.
If you two were locked in a giant dirt arena with gladiator-style weapons to a fight to the death, who would win? Now –
Frankie's gonna just eat your ass.
Yeah. I feel ass like exposed.
I feel like this is the way it's going down. We're in dirt arena. The dirt really isn't gonna matter much, except for the fucking dust that gets kicked up when Frank's just getting his fucking dental dam ready. And then, like, at some point, I'm gonna be all serious and pissed off, and then I'm gonna get my butthole tickled. And I'm gonna stop moving. And then Frank's going to stab me and kill me, and that's it.
I thought he was just going to eat your ass and you'll be friends forever.
Yeah, then we'll be friends forever.
Man, you're the best, Frankie. How do you see that going down, Frankie?
Me and Kevin in a gladiator.
In a dirt gladiator arena with gladiator weapons.
It probably ends badly, yeah.
Yeah.
Frankie has a heart attack.
It's like, I don't know, like, you guys probably don't know that about me, but, like, my dad's a mink farmer.
A mink farmer? No.
Yeah, yeah, we remove the skin of the animal.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I get you. Hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to stand there, knowing that this is Frank, and be like, you know, think magic terms, and be like... I'm going to fucking lightning bolt his ass and then realize that, like, I don't have the power to summon lightning bolts. While I'm standing there trying to do it, Frank's just going to skin me alive and still Frank wins.
Yeah, I can be quite vicious in that department.
Yeah, don't ever get in a knife fight with Frankie. It's a bad idea. Or a masturbation duel. That doesn't end well either.
Or turn your back on him with your ass exposed.
Yeah, turn your back on him.
Man, that feels great, Frankie. What are you doing back there?
Ooh, we should be friends. You should come on my podcast.
What is the second question?
Well, that's how I got here, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how you got here. It was like, oh, this Frankie. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to come on the show? Fuck yeah, come on the show.
He's got magic fingers.
That's not a finger.
It's his tongue. All right.
And last I got question. The other one. The last one is fucking Calvin Layfield. Shit, where'd it go? I just had it. Oh, he's got two of them in here now. Hold on. I'm gonna give you one, Calvin, but I'm gonna read the second one to see if it's better than the first one.
Okay.
No, that one's not even as good as the first one. All right. So, this one's actually serious. My 13-year-old daughter wants to play in tournaments. How should I tell her how to deal with asshats? Normally, I just stand behind her looking angry, but in case not there.
Mm.
So, how would you deal with your daughter's playing magic? This is a controversial subject. How would you deal with your daughter's playing magic and not wanting just to kill everybody that, you know, wins against them, or, you know, start a fight with the random neckbeard that's trying to screw her for cards? Not, like, actually screw her, but, like, you know, screw her over for cards. How would you deal with that, Maddie? If one of your girls wanted to start magic tournaments, and how would you deal with that?
So, well, they've already asked. They wanted to come to the thing, and I was like, I don't know if you're ready for this yet, girls, but... Yeah.
Basically, just tell them no.
I would no. Well, the funny thing is, like, I've already been, you know, they saw the Karate Kid, so I've been like showing them some moves and shit in the basement, and so
you want to go do karate in the garage? Yup.
Yeah, no, I made a giant box, like, robot, just with, like, old boxes and tapes so they could just punch it. Because I remember doing that as a kid. And it was so much fun, man, just beating up a box. But anyways, they're pretty vicious already. They're pretty tough girls. Like, I would just be like, look, here's the truth.
No, yeah.
If somebody gets in your face, the first thing you got to do, like, if it's a game-related thing, who cares? Follow the rules, right? You got to walk away at all times first. But if anyone ever touches you, grabs you, or, you know, it gets to that point, I'm like, you just wax on, wax off their face and get the fuck out of there. Hit and run, man. Hit and run.
Be careful of the terminology because, you know, Frankie and I have got into a wax on, wax off situation before, but it's completely different than what you're talking about.
I don't know. That's, I mean... In all jokes aside, I mean, I don't think most Magic tournaments are that bad.
No.
I mean,
I've got a
scumbag story that kind of touches the topic.
Okay.
It's like my son plays Magic, and like he's 15 years old, right?
Yeah.
And we went to a store once, like we were playing a random Sunday afternoon tournament, I think. Uh-huh. And he's playing against this other kid who's maybe more closer to he was younger at that time, so he maybe was like 13, 14, uh-huh. And he was playing against like maybe a 16, 17 year old kid, and. Like, they're playing, but, like, it's, like, the end of the round, and it's the end of the tournament, and they're starting another tournament right after for some other, I think, some other game or something. And, like, they're playing their game. They're, like, the game is almost done, and, but, like, my kid, like, he's playing, like, this green deck. I think it was green ramp with, like, Titans and like a bunch of huge monsters and a million mana guys, and like he's attacking the guy for like he thinks like he plays a guy, he attacks with all his guys, but like one of them and like the guy just scoops, okay, and they're picking up their cards, and then like the guy's like, oh wait, like that one guy was he had summoning sickness, so you couldn't attack with that guy, and like I'm probably left to some life, you know, in that case. And then like he goes to like so, but they've already picked up their cards, you know.
Right.
And then like he goes to the store owner and he's like, "Oh, like what do we do about this situation?" And he asks, like, when something like that happens, can we roll back the game, you know?
Right.
But, like, he didn't told him that, like, they had already scooped, you know? So the guy's like, yeah, you can roll back. And then, like, the other kid's, like, basically saying to him, like, oh, you didn't kill me, so I win.
What?
Nice.
And like me, I go to tournament Magic, you know, and I know that's not how it works, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I start arguing with the kid, you know. I'm like, no, this is not the way it works. And then like I was really getting pissed at him. And then my son, he didn't want any form of trouble, you know. So we just ended up like leaving.
Oh my god!
That's such an awkward fucking situation to have to fucking be in, though.
And then like a couple weeks back, I'm like, I was considering like going, we wanted to go play Magic again over the weekend. I'm like, do you want to go back to that place? And then like he's like, no, I don't want to go back.
No, I don't want to deal with that. Fuck that.
Like it's been more than a year since that, but like he never wants to go there anymore. Bad
vibes, man. Yeah, I'd get
now,
the fuck
see,
out of
now. See, take that story and imagine if you had a girl. That's even worse. like, because, you know, this is the world we live in. It is a little bit different. And especially in the Magic community, like, girls get treated differently, which, I mean, sucks. Like, don't get me wrong, but fuck, man. Like, it's that much worse.
If I see someone trying to shark my fucking girl, I'm like, what? I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to do more than throw a commander box at him.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone to a couple tournaments with my kid, and, like, I would say, like, if you know the people that run the tournaments, then, like, it's probably better, you know, because, you know, like, if you know the organizers, like, are gonna stand up for you and your kid, then, like, you know, it's kind of like, it's a safer environment, you know?
Right.
But, exactly. Like, when I was playing...
And again, not even just to the, like, male-female thing, but regardless, you know, the gender of your child. But, yeah, you want them to be in a safer environment anyway, so I think you got a good point with, like, the people that run the event. If you know how the events are run, and you know how they treat, like, when you go there, and you know how they treat people, then that's a good indication on how you should, you know, let your child be there if they're unsupervised.
Yeah, for me, that store I went to, like, I went there, like, just a couple times, so they don't really know me, and, like, but right. the other Magic stores that I go to, you know, like, face-to-face, like, all the guys know me, so, like, I know they're gonna stand up for what's right, you know, basically.
Absolutely. 100%. Oh, god damn it. Maddie's writing in the comments right now. I'm just gonna give away the fucking the Hollywood magic. Maddie's writing in the comments. He's just like, just let me go to sleep.
No, that's not what I'm writing. Well,
no, that's not what he's
writing. I always write quirky little amusing things.
This is the very fucking the PG-13 Mevy meta version of what Maddie is saying right now. There's ass eating.
I try many times.
The masturbation thing, you know, like I had to take it up another level, you know.
I know. What are you gonna do next time? I don't even know.
Next time, man, it's domination and the whole
fucking
fetishism.
The fifth level of the pyramid is the pinnacle. So, like, I just want I'm gonna call it now. The fifth time we have Frankie Ricard on. Richard Ricard,
what is he, royalty? We have Francois Ricard.
It's like Colbert, you know?
Well, I keep going back to that fucking clip from Anchorman where I get San Diego thing. Hey, this is Frank Ricard. the fifth time we have Frankie Richards on our fucking cast is going to be the end of the world. Because he's going to give you the five-step process in prospering in your life. And we're at two right now. It's one, masturbate to just chill the fuck out and be happy with your life. And then if you want to take a step further and you want to get ahead in your life, you have to eat assholes. We've got three and four to go long before the end of the world. So,
you could survive a long time in jail with just those two rules, right?
I tell you, you might have a brand new two rules to life book that there's only two things you need to know.
You could survive a long time on a deserted island with fucking jerking off eight ass.
Well, you'd have to eat monkey ass. It's not.
But if I were going to be on like a deserted island.
It gets you by, man.
If there's a city out there that I would never eat ass in, Kevin, what is that city? Because that city's dirty.
Oh.
What do you say? Here's the real question. What do you say when someone tries to eat your ass in San Diego? What do you say?
What are you trying to get out of me?
Is that what you tell the person?
Do you need cab fare? That's what you tell the fucking person.
I'm pretty sure it isn't. I'm pretty sure it's go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Yeah! This is the need to do the sign-off line.
50, 57 or some motherfuckers.
Holy shit, that took
God, I know, I gave up. I'm like, he's not gonna fucking
drove you to just doing it yourself.
Yeah. You know what, there should just be a dump button where I just, it's like, I'm tired, dump, go fuck yourself, Sandy.
Hey, give it another 100 episodes and you'll just have that shit on fucking cue. Like, you'll have a soundboard for me, you'll have a soundboard for Ferret, and like, you'll just run this shit by yourself. Like, if you don't like what we have to say, or if we're taking too long, or you want to direct it somewhere else, you're just all, yeah. So anyway, there I was, standing here, blah, blah, blah. And it'll just be me talking, but like, you just mute my microphone or dump me from the call. And then you orchestrate this whole fucking thing, and then you're just like, oh, hey, Kevy, what's that city got today? And then it was like, I'm just all, oh, it's some old ass, go fuck yourself, San Diego. You just fucking finished the episode off by your fucking self.
So,
expect a check in the mail, Matt.
You want me to just turn this into like a 1990s radio DJ show with all the set of a, hey, what's up? Yeah.
You're going to have a guest on and it'll just be like, you know, you'll be like, hey, Frank, can you send me a couple sound bites? Just
don't come on the show.
Don't come on the show. Do it at your own leisure. Just by Wednesday,
I can give you sound bites of every genital part of the human body. And then you can mix it, man.
Hell yes! Matty, you're on your way to not needing us anymore.
Oh my god, I gotta say, if there's an audio expert out there that can make this happen, I want, in all honesty, I really do want Frank and Richard. Frankie, you have to, like, if you read Revelations, I think that would be, like, a best-selling book ever. And then I looked out into the ocean, and a giant fucking ass came out of it.
Came out of the thing. And then there was another ass. I'm dead serious. If I could just listen to an audiobook over and over of fucking Frankie Ricard, I keep doing it. I like it.
That's your
new nickname, Frankie Ricard. If there's a fucking audiobook out there of Frankie reading the Bible, I would convert to Christianity. I've listened to it all the fucking time. I would never get old.
I would love to hear his fucking version of the Bible.
Oh my god.
And the Ten Commandments said the number one commandment was masturbate, and number two was eat ass.
You gotta eat ass, and then the rest of the commandments didn't really count after that. It fucking kills me.
After those two, you take a day off, man.
God created the universe in one day, he masturbated, and then he fucking ate ass.
For the love of God, just please, just so they have to listen all the way through to understand it, the name of the episode has to be, and after those two, you take the day off.
I think we're just going to call it the two secrets of the universe is the title of this episode.
The second secret of the universe.
Oh man,
dude, seriously, I could listen to this fucking dude talk forever. I mean, doesn't matter what he's talking about. He could be explaining everything about his own, but he'd just be like, "Oh, what's that down there? Oh, there's something under my nuts." I'd be listening, interested. I'd be like, "Oh, what's under your nuts, Frankie?" Shit's fucking awesome. We need to have you on all the
time. I don't know. I think that soundboard idea is a winner right there. Just every fucking human body part. The pussy.
Rectum.
I like your tits. Oh, all right, man. That was enlightening.